You're able to drink water here? Water here. This water is alright. If there is some difficulty, we can get some from ashram. Carry some 5 liter, 10 liter can. And then you can get from ashram. That is boiled water. No? श्लोक हो गया ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादां सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 रामो राम रामो हरे हरे So we have completed 6 chapters of 8th canto. So 6th chapter actually began the description of Samudra Manthan episode, where the demons defeated the demigods. Demigods lost all their power. This is because of their offense that they committed to this Durvasa Muni. They didn't respect the Mahaprasad garland that Durvasa Muni gave them. And all of them went to Brahmaji, and Brahmaji took all of them to Lord Vishnu, and then there were beautiful prayers that are offered, and Vishnu told them to make a truce with the demigods, with the demons, and all the demigods went to the demons headed by Bali Maharaj, and then proposed a plan. So let's churn this samudra, this milk ocean, with the help of Mandara mountain. Then we will be able to produce nectar. Then we will share that nectar amongst ourselves. So the intention of demigods was to utilize demons, make them work hard for the churning of milk ocean, and finally when the nectar comes, they can drink. So the same intention demons are also having. They also thought that we will ditch the demigods and then drink all the nectar for ourselves. So finally, at the end of 6th chapter, we see that both of them agreed to this common purpose of getting nectar, and then they began by lifting the Mandara mountain and bringing Mandara mountain close to the milk ocean. So while they were bringing, so they lifted, but they couldn't carry for long, and then they fainted. Some people got injured also. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead came there on the back of Garuda, then revived all those demigods and demons who fell down, and then put all the demigods and demons and Mandara mountain, and he himself sat on the top of Garuda, and then brought this Mandara mountain to the milk ocean. So now we will continue in the 7th chapter. Sri Sukha Uvacha Tenagarajam Amantriya Falabhagena Vasukim Pariviya Girau Tasmin Netram Abdhim Mudanvitaha Arebhire Surayatta Amrutarthe Kurudvaha.
Sukadev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, Maharaj Parikshit, the demigods and demons summoned Vasuki, king of the serpents, requesting him to come and promising to give him a share of the nectar. They coiled Vasuki around Mandara mountain as a churning rope, and with great pleasure they endeavored to produce nectar by churning the ocean of milk.
So now Mandara mountain, the churning rod came to the milk ocean. Next, some churning rope should come. That rope was Vasuki. So all the demigods and demons approached Vasuki and said, we will also give you a share of nectar. You can also become immortal. So please assist us in churning. So Vasuki, with a desire to get that nectar, so Vasuki agreed to the proposal. So all of them worked with great pleasure, endeavored to produce nectar. So this Samudra Manthan is often compared to our process of devotional service also, where we churn our heart, we churn our consciousness. Then when we are churning our consciousness through the process of this devotional service, all the anarthas come out. Just like poison, halahal came out of churning of this milk ocean. First, this poison will come out, anarthas will come out, and then they will go. Then finally, final product, Krishna Prem will come out, the nectar of Krishna will come out. So many times, many senior devotees compare it with this. So here is the beginning of Samudra Manthan episode, where demigods and demons are beginning to churn the milk ocean. How? With great pleasure, they endeavored. So they endeavored with great pleasure. So the practice of devotional service should begin with an endeavor, which is done with pleasure, okay, not with low enthusiasm levels. So one has to enthusiastically practice devotional service. So everyone needs an inspiration to work hard. Here in this case of Samudra Manthan, the impetus for these demigods and demons is the nectar, to revive their positions or to strengthen their positions, like that. So the inspiration to work hard is there, but in the case of devotees, the inspiration is often spiritual sound vibration, and in the case of demons, it is sex. So Gauranga Prabhu often says, either sound or sex, will motivate you to work hard. That is the impetus for you to work hard. So Prabhupada defines this word enthusiasm is as endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness. Endeavor executed with intelligence in Krishna consciousness is called enthusiasm. So that is needed. And when we come to this process of devotional service, even Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita that the devotional service has to be performed with great joy. Susukham kartum avyayam. So it has to be blissfully performed. So while most easy things are, many other easy things are performed, many other difficult things are performed with great difficulty and the results are not very much lasting. But here devotional service is easy and performed with great pleasure and the results are everlasting. So that is the speciality of the process of devotional service. Prabhupada says that the practice of devotional service is very blissful. What is the difficulty? Is there any difficulty? Prabhupada often in his lectures he questions the audience like this. What is the difficulty? You just chant. You just take prasadam. How long this will go? That background music. Throughout. My God. No, that doesn't. It's coming from underground. Fine. Can someone find out how long this will go? Or is there a possibility to postpone it or do something? We can hardly discuss if this is the case every 2 minutes. Yeah, it's also said that ato vai kavayo nityam bhaktim paramayamuda. Bhaktim paramayamuda. Bhakti has to be performed with great pleasure. So if Samudra Manthan is performed with great pleasure, why not bhakti? So by saying with great joy, acharyas are explaining that sadhana bhakti, even at the stage of sadhana bhakti also, sadhaka will not experience difficulties in performing bhakti, if only he has the right intention and then right way to practice devotional service. So Mahaprabhu also cleaned this Gunducha Mandir. There is definitely a lot of parishram, but the whole difficulty is endured with great pleasure. Definitely there is a lot of physical work involved, but there is a lot of pleasure also that the devotees are experiencing in that service. Similar is the case of devotional service. It is said that sometimes one may not feel enthusiasm, but still it is a recommendation that even if you don't feel enthusiastic, you act enthusiastically. So example is given, suppose car is there and the car is moving, a car is unable to move, thoda dhakka marna padega. So you just push it little bit so that it can move on its own. So the initial, even if one doesn't have enthusiasm, one has to try to act enthusiastically like that. Now all these demigods are endeavoring with great enthusiasm, with great pleasure, so that they can get the nectar. Now second verse. Harih purastad jagrihe purvam devas tato bhavan. Yes, read.
Grab the front portion of the snake and then the demigods.
Here, harim purastad jagrihe. Purastad means the front portion. Jagrihe. Where does this word come? Jagrihe. Where else did you find this word? Jagrihe. Third canto. Where? Okay. Third canto. Okay. I don't remember. It may be true, but I don't remember. Jagrihe. There is another popular context in which this word jagrihe is emphasized. First canto. Third chapter. Jagrihe. Nidhanam. Bijam. Avyayam. Huh? Remember? So jagrihe means accepting. So Krishna, when this description of various incarnations are coming. So Krishna has accepted so many incarnations. So he accepted all of them. All these incarnations are eternal. Krishna accepted all of them. In that context, the word Jagrihe is used. So here, our Lord Vishnu, Ajita, Hari, he is accepting what? The front portion of the snake. Jagrihe Purvastat, the front portion of the snake, the head portion of the snake. Vasuki, he accepted. Why? Actually, the intention of Vishnu is simple. If we accept these childish demons, they will also show enthusiasm to accept this front part, not the tail part. And so Vishnu had this kind of little diplomatic intention. Right? That is a childish mentality. You have to make best use of one's childish mentality also. So Vishnu is doing that. Tannai chandaitya patayo Mahapurusha cheshtitam Nagrihnimo vayam puchham Ahir angam amangalam Svadhyaya shruta sampanna Prakhyata janma karmabhi.
The leaders of the demons thought it unwise to hold the tail, the inauspicious portion of the snake. Instead, they wanted to hold the front, which had been taken by the personality of Godhead and the demigods, because that portion was auspicious and glorious. Thus, the demons, on the plea that they were all highly advanced students of Vedic knowledge and were all famous for their birth and activities, protested that they wanted to hold the front of the snake.
See, Vishnu's prediction is true. So demons will behave childishly. Okay, it's not necessary that someone has to do something. Just because other fellow is doing, he will be, you know, in a competitive spirit to do the same thing. Right? He may not be expert in doing it, he may not have the capacity to handle it still, but he is doing, I will also do. Right? It must be correct. So that was the nature of these demigods. So demigods protested to hold the tail. Why? Because tail is an inauspicious part of the snake. Head is glorious portion and auspicious portion of the snake. So we will catch that. So, and what was their qualification to hold the auspicious or glorious portion of the snake? They are saying Svadhyaya Srita Sampannaha Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. They are Svadhyaya Srita Sampanna. They are expert in studying Vedic knowledge. And Prakhyata. Prakhyata means they have become very famous and prominent in their janma and karma. This is how they are thinking. So, Prabhupada says that nature of daityas is that they must always do the opposite of demigods. Right? By definition, daitya means one who does opposite of what demigods do. So, Krishna consciousness movement is advocating cow protection and milk, glories of milk. So, ISKCON may say, emphasize this. But demon scientific theory says milk is dangerous, but cow flesh is nutritious. That is the nature of demons. They do exactly the opposite of devotees. So, this difference of opinion and competition between demigods and demons existed since the days of yore. Okay, and will always continue, Prabhupada says. Okay, don't be surprised when in your preaching endeavor, somebody is coming and speaking something opposite to what you are speaking. You may be repeating what the acharyas are saying, you may be repeating what Krishna is saying, but someone will always present a exactly opposite opinion. There is no surprise. That's how the world is. So if demigods were going to drink poison, demons would say, we will also share that poison and die gloriously by drinking it. So demons will say, whatever they do, they have to do. Whatever demigods are doing, demons are also wanting to do that. Right? And actually, if you see impartially, this is an appreciation that the demigods are having, demons are having for the demigods. Envy is another form of appreciation, indirect appreciation, right? So he is good, whatever he does is good, so I also have to do that. And this is not, this feeling is not inspired by a positive vibration in the heart that I follow him. It is inspired by a negative vibration in the heart, which is envy towards him. He should not get the best thing. He is choosing, he is a best person, he is a good person, whatever he chooses must be best. and he should not get the best thing. I should get it. So that is the mentality of all these demons. Then Svadhyaya Srita Sampanna Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. Prabhupada says, if it is really so, why should he be called as demon? So the very fact that these are demons means that they are not Svadhyaya Srita Sampanna, they are not Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. They are not glorified for their aristocratic birth or their activities. They are not at all educated in Vedas. That's why they are demons. So they are thinking exactly the opposite way of what they actually are. So one may be highly educated and may have been born in an aristocratic family, but if he is godless, if he does not listen to the instructions of God, then he is a demon. Here God, Hari, Lord Ajita, he is holding the front portion of the snake and gave the tail portion of the snake to the demons. And demons are opposing the decision or instruction of God. They are not Svadhyaya Srita Sampanna Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. When will your activity become glorious? When it is in line, when it is in line with the injunctions of Krishna. If it is opposite, how can that be Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi? How can your karma or janma will become Prakhyata or prominent? Because if you are behaving opposite to what God wants you, Prabhupada gives the examples of some famous demons who behaved exactly opposite to what God wanted. Hiranyakasipu, Ravana, Kamsa, they are very well educated, they have aristocratic births, they are powerful, chivalrous, but they derided Krishna, so they are called Rakshasas or demons. So even Karna is also there, he knows that Krishna is Supreme Lord and he knows that Pandavas will win the battle, still he cannot act according to the instructions of Krishna. Krishna even suggested, you just come and fight with your younger brothers, Pandavas. He denied. Okay, if not full fight, half the fight you come and fight on the side of Pandavas. So Bhishma, somehow there was a misunderstanding and Karna was not allowed to fight in the Kurukshetra battle till Bhishma dies. So till that time Karna was sitting idle. So Krishna went and suggested, why you to sit idle? You come and fight with, on the side of Pandavas. You are Kshatriya, your duty is to fight. On which side you are fighting, that doesn't matter. So he didn't agree. He didn't agree to Krishna's instructions. So like that. Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova Mithobipadyeta Grahavratanam. What's next? Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamishram Punah Punas Charvita Charvananam. So Matirna Krishna Paratasvatova. By their own endeavors, they cannot be inclined to Krishna. Parata, by others' instructions also, they cannot be inclined to Krishna. By a mixture of both also, they will not be inclined to Krishna. Such a person is called Grahavrata or a demon. Okay, in this current context. Prabhupada also quotes this popular verse from Bhagavad Gita. Nuam dushkritano modha prapadyante naradhamah mayaya apahrita jnana asurim bhavamashrita. Right? Asurim bhavamashrita. Now we need to understand that these demons are infatuated by pride. They have become so proud that they are Svadhyaya Srita Sampanna and Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhi. They have become proud. If one is so proud, he will fail to exhibit even common sense also. He will lose common sense if he is so proud. So all the demons, although they know that Vasuki is such a powerful serpent and then fire will emanate from the mouth, they lost their common sense. They did not use the common sense that fire will emanate from the mouth of Vasuki and we will be affected. Because they are so proud, they are so attached to their egoistic so-called better positions in comparison with demigods. And they thought, we have to catch the head of the Vasuki. So that was their intention. It happened because of simple pride. They lost common sense. Although they can understand, with some little intelligence, they can understand that it is not a very safe position for us to stand. Still, they failed to do it. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu writes an article, in our obsession with rights, we ostracize common sense. Rights. Here, these fellows are fighting for rights. We have the first right, or we are superior people to catch the head of the serpent. All the modern women, right, they think we are equal to men. Okay, we have equal rights. And then in in their obsession to fight for equal rights, they lose common sense also. They wear dresses scantily and then they just roam around. Man can roam around till late night. How can woman roam around till late night? That is not allowed. So, but modern, in equal rights. And ultimately, who will be the loser? Here, demons are the losers. Similarly, they will also lose like that. So, one cannot effort to lose common sense. So, moodha. Here, this Namam Dushritano Moodha, first category of people, Prabhupada explains that they have a failure of understanding. Right? They cannot grasp the basic difference between what is material and what is spiritual. Even in terms of theoretical knowledge also, they lack understanding. That such people are called Moodhas. Then second category, Prabhadyante Naradhama. Second category of people, they lose their category of failure of spiritual inclination. So, first category is failure of understanding, second category is failure of spiritual inclinations. So, these Naradhamas, they have some general understanding of the nature of reality, but they are not inclined to perfect their understanding. They lack interest in their own self-interest. They have no inclination to cultivate their own self-interest. Although they may have a very good birth or good spiritual background, they have been born in Brahminical families, still they have no inclination to perfect their understanding. First people, they don't have understanding only. What is matter, what is spiritual. Then third category, Mayaya Apaharita Jnana, they have a failure of reasoning. They understand, their understanding of God is undermined by innumerable philosophies, theories, mundane theories, and spiritual theories. So, second category of people, Naradhamas, they lack some intellectual prowess, okay, to make proper distinctions. But these fellows, Mayaya Apaharita Jnana, they have Jnana, they have intellectual power, but it has been stolen away. They underutilize it. They have excess of their own, excess of intellectual power that they can't discriminate even small things. Too much jnana they use. That is Mayaya Apaharita Jnana. Excess intellectual prowess, Prabhupada explains. So their wisdom is stolen by illusion of logic. They cannot arrive at a conclusive truth. So conclusion is so near, but they just put so many logics there. Oh, how can this happen? How can this happen? Conclusion, although it is so near, they can't reach there. Your destination is so near, you are just lost in so many streets in the on the way. Like that. There is a direct path, but this fellow is just going this way, this way, this way. He is just going, roaming everywhere, and he is not reaching the destination only. So that is Maya Apaharita Jnana's case. So here Prabhupada is speaking, emphasizing on this last category. Asuram bhavam ashrita. They have a failure of heart, Prabhupada says. Hearts of hatred for God. Asurim bhava is what? They hate God. These people hate God. So, despite of being established in theoretical understanding of the nature of God, right, Shishupala had understanding of the nature of God. Everyone has understanding. All many big popular demons, Hiranyakasipu, Ravana. Ravana understood, right, in 1 hour he can defeat 14,000 Rakshasas in within 1 hour single-handedly. And he is a Vanvasi. He was not having a chariot also. Then his one monkey soldier can just burn the whole Lanka. He is having so much understanding, but because he is obsessed with the feeling that I have to do something opposite to what he does. If he has Sita, I want that Sita. Right? So that is Asurim Bhava. So lesson is, if a person is so proud of one's birth and learning and activities, Prakhyata Janma Karma Bhihi and what else? Swadhyaya Srita Sampanna. If one is so proud of his knowledge, Swadhyaya Srita Sampanna, Janma, his aristocratic birth, and Karma, his activities, glorious activities. One is obsessed with pride of all these three, then he cannot see things in proper perspective. He cannot even understand, he cannot use his little common sense also that, Vasuki's head will emanate fire. Okay, if we catch this portion, we will be burnt to ashes. they cannot understand it because they are obsessed with pride. Like that, one demands and one thinks, one is convinced that I deserve certain facilities, I deserve certain privileges, I deserve certain position and fame, people should respect me. That is their default mindset. They against all common sense and logic. So that is demon's mentality. It's very silliness. No, they fail to use common sense if one is so much infatuated with pride. Then fourth verse. Iti tushnim sthitan daityan vilokya purushottamah smayamano visrujyagam visrujyagram pucham jagrah samara.
Seeing the demons and understanding their motive, the personality of Godhead smiled. Without discussion, he immediately accepted their proposal by grasping the tail of the snake, and the demigods followed him.
So there is no point endeavoring to convince a dull fellow, silly fellow, proud fellow. However much you give him logical explanations, commonsensical explanations, he will not be convinced. Because he switched off his left brain. Only his right brain is active. He is infatuated with some stupid emotion. So he failed to analyze and reason. Right? So however much you tell him, he cannot accept the truth. So Ajita, Lord Ajita just gave a smile and then silently went and took the tail portion. Like that. Chakvartipad gives an explanation that the Lord smiled. Why? Because these fellows will die because of intense poison. Because you have such great pride that you want to catch the tail portion only, head portion only. You feel that it's below your dignity to catch the tail portion. You want to catch only the head portion. So you will die because of your pride. Because poison. Your pride in the form of poison of Vasuki will subdue you. So Lord understood that and then he just silently took the tail portion. So one may be attracted by certain posts and position. It may look very attractive. But if one does not have the right disposition and if one is proud of that post and position, it will certainly cause his downfall. Right? Some certain activities or certain posts or positions or some services or some authoritative position, so it may look attractive, but if you don't have the right disposition to be in that position, then one will fall down. Like that, initially we may get overexcited, array, we are being given this facility, this opportunity, but do you have right disposition to handle it? They have the right mindset to handle it, otherwise you will soon fall down from that, right? That privileged position. So we can get influenced by propaganda and public opinion or hype. Just because demigods are just catching that head portion, because of that hype and propaganda or that advertisement, billboard, these fellows also, these demons also got attracted to that position. And they failed to understand the danger behind this. So this is very important to understand. We may get distracted by some advertisements or propaganda or public or popular opinion, but we sometimes fail to understand the danger behind the whole thing, right? Influenced by propaganda, media. So sometimes one's envy towards others also may make them so stupid that they trust whatever they have is good. We were discussing sometime back, whatever this person is doing must be good. It's not with an impetus to follow that person or with a great respect or regard for that person. It is because of envy towards that person. Because he is holding it must be good, I also want it. Like that, out of envy. So proud people cannot be given any advice. So here Lord did not give any advice to them. So Vishnu cooperated with the demon's proposal and importantly, without any discussion, all the demigods also followed Vishnu. Another important lesson here. Demigods followed Vishnu without any discussion. Vishnu was not involving in any discussion with the demons, so his followers also followed him. So demigods completely trusted with Vishnu. They did not question Vishnu, right? Whatever decision he has taken without discussion must be proper. They have that full faith and trust and surrender and obedience towards the decision of Vishnu. So that is the nature of demigods, devotees. So when the follower is faithful and submissive, then the superior saves his time a lot. So for example, you have certain authority, service-wise some authority is there, he is giving you some service. If half of the service in charge's authority is spent in convincing you to do it, in inspiring you to do it, in motivating you to do it, in giving you incentives to do it, then where is the question of submissiveness or surrender? Half the time goes in meeting. Very little time is left for execution. Right? So when there is a proper malleability, or there is a proper malleability from the side of the subordinate, proper faith on the superior, then that is the best combination, and the meeting time reduces, execution time increases. And execution time, if it is execution time also will become, execution also will become very smoother, and you will save more time for hearing and chanting. Right? Half the time is just left for meeting only. How to do this? He has 100 questions in mind. A question is good, but 100 may 90 are stupid questions, very trivial questions. You have to figure out on your own. Some things are very simple that you have to figure out on your own. But basically, the person, if he is not sufficiently inspired to do some activity, then all these kind of trivial questions will come, right? Which may not be very serious, which are like understood and then by default taken care of. They should be taken care of by the subordinate, from the subordinate side only. So here they have full trust on the integrity of Vishnu, and they never questioned. They silently followed him. So both parties saved time. So good follower trusts the decisions of a superior and does not unnecessarily question him. So they never questioned. Kritasthana vibhagastha evam kashyapanandanah mamantu paramam yatta amritartham payonidhim. Keep the mic with one person only. Okay.
After the suggesting how the snake was to be held, the sons of Kashyapa, both demigods and demons, began their activities, desiring to get nectar by churning the ocean of milk.
So they adjusted finally the snake. The demigods caught the tail portion, demons took the front portion, and then started churning the milk. Mathyamanir nave sodhir anadharo hyapo vishat dhriyamano api balibhir gauravat pandunandana.
O son of the Pandu dynasty, when Mandara mountain was thus being used as a churning rod in the ocean of milk, it had no support, and therefore, although held by the strong hands of the demigods and demons, it sank into the water.
So, Mathyamanir nave sodhir anadharo. So, there was no adhara. You just get such a heavy, huge churning rod like Mandara mountain, put it in ocean, it will sink only. Right? There is no support from bottom. So, it will automatically sink. That's what has happened here. So, when some huge building is made without a strong foundation, it crumbles. Simple. You just directly start from the ground level. You don't go underground. You don't give it proper support of foundation. Building will automatically fall. It's just a matter of time. So you don't need a Sherlock Holmes to understand why the building fell down. Because there was no foundation only. So here our demigods and demons were endeavoring hard, but Mandara mountain sank. Similarly, we need to understand, when there is no support of sadhana, sadhana, hearing, chanting, morning program is like a supportive system for our sustenance in devotional life. So when there is no strong foundation of sadhana, here that sadhana will be our Kurmadev. So the Mandara mountain was sinking because it doesn't have support. Similarly, devotional life will sink, will be chaos if one doesn't have very strong sadhana. Prabhupada says books are the basics. So we may do a lot of services, but if the foundation of our sadhana, basically sadhana is connection with sound vibration, hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam and holy name. So if that our connection with the sound vibration is not strong, then all our efforts may fail like that. So Bhaktivedanta Vidyapeet, 2 years we are spending here, even in BT also Bhakti Shastri, 3 years you are spending exclusive time with sound vibration only. So you are making the building foundation very strong so that your whole ashram life can sustain on that strong foundation. And if the laying of this foundation becomes very weak, right, if the student is not taking shelter of the sound vibration and the facility very nicely, then it may appear as future problems, right? An opportunity is given to make your own foundation. So Vidyapeeth is an opportunity to make your foundation. Foundation time is also given. So when we need to work, we need to utilize that time to make the foundation very strong. So once one devotee chanted 14 rounds in the morning and 2 rounds are left. Okay, I will chant after some time. Okay, whole day is there, why not? But the whole day went so packed and he couldn't chant the 2 rounds. The next day morning he realized, hey, 2 rounds were left yesterday. Prabhupada asked him, did you chant 16 rounds yesterday? Then he said, Prabhupada, 2 rounds left. Prabhupada said, if you fail to chant your 16 rounds, if you fail to complete your 16 rounds in a day, your whereabouts will be unknown. Your whereabouts in devotional service will be unknown. So that is the importance given to chanting 16 rounds, completing 16 rounds. Attentiveness all will come later. First reach the number, right? First complete 16. Attentiveness, Krishna Prema, tears, that will come eventually, but endeavor to complete the 16 first. So if there is a compromise at that level only, we can understand. Purpose is your whereabouts will be unknown. So it is important. So why Prabhupada also, although in the 10 years he expanded ISKCON so much, so many temples came, he gave very special emphasis for books. He has made BBT as a separate organization. Even if temple gets closed, if books are distributed and if someone may read these books and then he will get inspired by these books, ISKCON will start again. Like that. That is the power of sound vibration, book, Bhagavatam, our holy name. So there is a lot of emphasis given there. That is foundation. So without a strong support from the bottom, foundation, building will sink, Mandara mountain also will sink. Even if it is held by strong hands of, you know, hundreds and thousands of demigods and demons, still it will sink. Bottom support is needed. Even if one is doing tremendous services, right? Compared to strong hands of all these demons and demigods. Tremendous services. He's become very popular and then he's very effective in handling the whole situation and then managing many things. But if 16 rounds and Srimad Bhagavatam, sound connection with sound vibration is very weak, very feeble, then that cannot sustain for long. So that is emphasized in this context. Tesu nirvinna manasa Parimlana Mukhashriya Asanswa Purushe Nashte Daivenati Baliyasa.
Because the mountain had been sunk by the strength of providence, the demigods and demons were disappointed and their faces seemed to shrivel.
Sunirvinna Manasa. Sunirvinna. Nirvinna means very disappointed. Sunirvinna, very much disappointed, very deep disappointment. Manasaha, their minds have become very disappointed. So when we put some effort and if the efforts are failing, naturally one will feel disappointed. But we need to understand, a devotee will not get disappointed when some reversals come. We have discussed this theme so many times. When somebody is depending on his own efforts and efforts are bound to fail many times and disappointment is bound to come. Right? So here one should not depend on one's own efforts. So they became very morose. Then many times when our efforts fail, then that affects our health also, that affects our beauty also, right? We become very morose in mind and body also. That when mind is constantly in anxiety, that has an effect, negative effect on the body also. That disappointment and depression. So we need to understand our own efforts are not the only cause of our success or failure in our activities. There are five factors. Bhagavad Gita 18th chapter says there are five factors of action. The seat of action, which is the body, and the performer of action, the soul, and there are various types of endeavors that the living entity performs, and finally, and the senses with which he functions, and finally, God. Finally, approval, sanction has to come from the super soul. These are five factors of action. Just your efforts will not, work. So your efforts and senses and all of them have to be ultimately sanctioned by this God. Many times, this fifth factor, which is super soul or God, is compared to destiny or fate. Right? So that is very important. Chitraketu did lot of endeavor to get one son. He married one wife, no son. Second wife, no son. Third wife, no son. 100th wife, no son. 1000th wife, no son. 1 crore marriages he has done. No son. It was not there in his destiny to get a son. Right? There was no sanction from God. So in spite of all his endeavors and efforts, he failed to get one son. Such a glorious king. Like that. So God's influence, which is sometimes called destiny, is the ultimate factor in the success or failure of any action. Like that. Whether it is good action or bad action, whatever, God has to sanction first. Sanction. That is the ultimate factor. All the other four factors are dependent on that factor. So not a blade of grass moves without the will of God. Yet, humanity also has a free will to act. So your free will is there, but ultimately it has to be sanctioned by Supreme Lord. Balasya neha saranam pitaro nrisimha. Right? Now, seventh verse is this. All these people, they did lot of effort, but when the mountain sank, they became very disappointed. Their faces became very faded. Now, see, finally, Lord has to intervene to make the situation better. Vilokya vignesha vidhim tadeshvaro durantavirya vitathabhi sandhibhi kritva vapuh kachapam adbhutam mahat pravishyatoyam girimujjahara.
Seeing the situation that had been created by the will of the Supreme, the unlimitedly powerful Lord, whose determination is infallible, took the wonderful shape of a tortoise, entered the water and lifted the great Mandara mountain.
So, Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim Tadeshwaro. Vilokya means the Supreme Lord, Ajita there. He observed what? Vighna, the obstruction. What is the obstruction here? Mandara mountain sank. He saw the obstruction there. Isha Vidhim, by the providential arrangement, it has sank. So, Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described in two ways here, in the second line. Duranta Virya. He has inconceivable power. Where else this word comes? Duranta Virya. Duranta Viryasya Rathanga Pani. Saveda Dhatum Padavim Parasya Duranta Viryasya Rathanga Pani. Correct. So, Duranta Virya. Then, avitatha abhisandhi. So, infallible. His determination is infallible. So, he is inconceivably powerful. He has infallible determination. These are the two qualities which are mentioned in this verse. Kritva vapuh krutchapam kachapam adbhutam mahat. Then he has accepted a body of kachapa. Keshavadhrita kachapa rupa. That is kurma rupa. He accepted that mahat. Very big. Huge tortoise, okay, not just 12 inches by 10 inches or width, not that. It is like 100,000 yojanas, like a big Jambudvipa, that big. So this Kachapa, when it entered the water milk ocean, it was looking like a big island there. So then Pravishya Toyam, he entered the water, and Girim Ujjahara, he lifted the Mandara mountain from his back. So Prabhupada begins the purport saying that here is the evidence that Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supreme controller of everything. He can make the mountain sink, he can lift the mountain up and keep it in a position that it cannot sink anymore, like that. So there are two classes of men, demigods and demons. Both of them are not supremely powerful. So hindrances are imposed on both of them. So, but the difference between demigods and demons is, in the seventh verse, there is mentioned both were disappointed. But people, when disappointed, if they are demigods, they will take shelter of Krishna. But if they are demons, they will not take shelter of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives that. Demons regard those hindrances as accidents or chance. By chance, one tortoise entered and the mountain was standing. That is the purport of demons. But demigods, supreme personality of Godhead, it is his will. Okay, he entered as Kachapa, like that. So devotee endures hindrances, he prays. Prabhupada says, in a popular verse, Satyanukampamsa Samikshamanam, and he also thinks that these hindrances are caused by Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they are benedictions of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the thought process of a devotee. So there is a three-step formula, how to deal with any hindrance. Enduring hindrance. How does it happen? One has to accept it, that it is my own karma. It is my own karma that this hindrance is coming in my life. So even if one takes revenge of a person who may be apparently causing the hindrance, still, if one does not have this understanding that it is because of my karma, ultimately it is because of my karma, this person is just an instrument of my karma, he will not have that satisfaction. Okay, even if he kills him, or even if he, you know, takes revenge against him of an enemy, still he will not have the satisfaction. Ultimately, satisfaction will come only when we think that it is because of my own past deeds. Then second step, one has to deal with a practical way. It's not just, okay, some hindrance is coming, this is my karma. Okay, I get some wound here, it is my karma. Done. No, you have to act on it. So one has to act to heal that wound. One has to deal also in a practical way without getting depressed. Otherwise, he'll get depressed. Last step is perform devotional service and finish off that karma. Because of karma, I am getting this hindrance. Let me finish off this karma. How does it happen? Devotional service. And is that only the result of devotional service? We will get a lot. Karma, finishing of the karma is just one insignificant byproduct of devotional service. So Prabhupada makes another interesting point, that dangers can be created by the Supreme Lord and they can be removed by Him also. So mountain sank down. That is the will of providence. And mountain was standing again. That is also will of providence. So the sinking of Mandara mountain is caused by Krishna, and the lifting and then stand, making it stand on the position, is also caused by Krishna. Like that. He is kartum, akartum, anyatha kartum. He can do, he can undo, he can do something else also. That is Krishna. So here two qualities are mentioned. He is unlimitedly powerful and his desires are always fulfilled. So, Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim, Lord can see the solution, but we fail to see the solution. So, Vilokya Vignesha Vidhim, very interesting line. So, Vighna is caused, the obstruction is caused by providential arrangement. But the solution for that obstruction is also there with the Supreme Lord. He can see that also. Now, our Kurma just enters and lifts the mountain. Tamuthitam viksha kula chalam puna samudyata nirmathitum surasuraha dadhara prishthena salok lakshayojana prastarinadvipa ivaparomahan.
When the demigods and demons saw that Mandara mountain had been lifted, they were enlivened and encouraged to begin churning again. The mountain rested on the back of the great tortoise, which extended for 800,000 miles like a large island.
Back of tortoise is extending for 800,000 miles. That is the extent. And the mountain is there in the middle of the back. And when the mountain was moving, so when you do like this churning, so mountain will do like this. See? So this kind of sensation on the back of tortoise was creating a very pleasing effect on him. Lot of pleasure. And 12th canto one verse comes that describes that the back of Kurmadev was scratched by the sharp-edged stones of the rotating Mount Mandara. Sharp-edged stones are scratching you and they are rotating also. Right? How do you feel? But Lord was feeling sleepy. He was feeling a little drowsing kind of thing. It was feeling a way, he was having a very pleasing sensation. Right? So, may all of us be protected by the winds caused by Lord's breathing in the sleepy condition. Another important point that is mentioned in the 12th canto verse was, Lord is feeling that pleasing sensation because of the scratching of his back by the stones, sharp-edged stones of Mandara mountain. And he was breathing. So, he was breathing in a sleepy condition. So, since that time, all the oceanic tides were appearing to be breathing. So, when Lord was breathing inside the ocean in a sleepy state, Lord was breathing inside the ocean of milk there. So, all the oceanic tides imitated Lord's inhalation and exhalation by coming in and going out, coming in and going out. So that is actually Kurmadev's breathing. Whenever you go to some ocean, you can remember Kurmadev. So Kurmadev breathed in the milk ocean and the oceanic tides were coming in, going out, coming in, going out. This is 12.13.2. Okay, you can refer. So, another nice explanation given in that verse was, sometimes we elevate in an itching sensation by blowing on it. Some itching is happening, so we just blow on it, right? So similarly, this breathing of Supreme Personality of Godhead then elevate the itching sensation within the minds of mental speculators, as well as the itching of our material senses of conditioned souls who are engaged in sense gratification. So materialists who are engaged in sense gratification, they have an itching sensation of material senses, and jnanis, this is about karmis. So about jnanis, they have itching sensation in the mind, okay, in their intellect. Okay, they always want to speculate, they want to get some different explanations of things. So all that itching sensation can be nullified or minimized or vanquished by meditating on the breath of Lord Kurmadev. Like that. So, thus by meditating on the windy breath of Lord Kurma, all categories of conditioned souls can be relieved of the deficiencies of material existence. Like that. Now, in the 10th verse, 10th verse also describes here about Lord's pleasure. Surasurendrair bhujavir yavepitam paribhramantam girimanga prishtata bibhratadavartanam adi kachapo menenga kandu yanam aprameya.
O king, when the demigods and demons by the strength of their arms rotated Mandara mountain on the back of the extraordinary tortoise, the tortoise accepted the rolling of the mountain as means of scratching his body, and thus he felt a pleasing sensation.
He was a little sleepy. No inconvenience. It was just itching him, and the rotation was very pleasing to him. Even in the third canto, teachings of Lord Kapila, 28th chapter, one verse comes. Bahumscha mandaragireha parivartitena nirnikta bahu valayan adhiloka palan. So, there Kapildeva was describing that how the yogi has to meditate on various limbs of the Lord. So, this here is a description of the four arms of the Lord. These four arms, bahumscha, they are source of demigods' powers. Bahumsya Mandaragirehi Parivartitena Nirnikta Bahu Valayan. So these ornaments that the Supreme Lord is wearing on his Bahu, they are polished, they are made bright, they are burnished by the Mandara mountain when it was revolving. So polishing is happening. And the gold, if you just polish nicely, then it will shine more. So Chakravartipada explains that Lord's ornaments are appearing as if they are recently polished. Right? So if you polish it 1 year back, still there is, it's not very shining. But when you polish it very recently, it just shines brightly. Right? Lord's ornaments are appearing like that because of the polishing of Mandara mountain. So one has to meditate on that. So here Vasuki is tolerating the pain just to get the nectar. But Lord is tolerating the heavy weight of Mandara mountain just as a pleasing sensation, like that. So, and whenever we see the bracelets of the Lord, when we take darshan, when we can remember the Samudra Manthan episode, oh, it is shining because it was polished by Mandara mountain's rotation, like that. And we can also remember how the Supreme Lord worked so hard for the pleasure or the welfare of these demigods. So Lord was working so hard. He was personally churning as Ajita. Then what else he will do? We will see in the next verses. He will enter the demigods, demons and Vasuki in different modes. That is the theme of 11th verse. Tatra asuran avishada surena rupena tesham balavirya miryan irayan uddipayan deva gunam shavishnor daivena nagendram abhadra abodha rupa.
Thereafter, Lord Vishnu entered the demons as the quality of passion, the demigods as the quality of goodness, and Vasuki as the quality of ignorance, to encourage them and increase their various types of strength and energy.
So he entered the demigods as mode of goodness, sattva. He entered the demons as a mode of passion, rajas. And he entered Vasuki as tamas. So, why he can't enter Vasuki as goodness? A question. Right? Jagdish Hari Prabhu, you got this question? So, many times we get that question. But different people have to be motivated or encouraged in different ways. Here, uddipayan deva ganamsya vishnor daivena nagendram abodha rupa. So, abodha rupa, by the quality of ignorance, he is encouraging Nagendra, king of serpents. Then, devaganamsya vishnor, how he is encouraging this devagana? By sattva. Then, asurena, by his passion, by the strength of passion, quality of passion. So, different people need uddipan in different ways. Right? If a non-spicy Admi has to get some uddipan, you have to give him some non-spicy sabji. Right? If you give it to somebody, hardcore spicy man, who cannot eat a meal without 10 mirchis, no uddipan, no encouragement. Right? So different people have to be encouraged in different ways. It's a need. So here Vasuki was so tired, it was about to die only. It was almost going to die. So Vishnu has to encourage them to continue the churning. So he entered them. So different people get encouraged by different energies. So, for example, if a Vaishya is sitting in Bhagavatam class and the Kathakar is quoting verses left, right, center, he'll get bored. So he needs some statistics of business and other things. If a group of college students are sitting and if you are quoting verse by verse, right, so many verses, in 50 verses in one class, he cannot assimilate what this fellow is speaking. You have to add some jokes, masala, as he says. You have to make the whole presentation which is in an acceptable form for that person. If Padmavagni Mahaprabhu is sitting in the class, you have to quote verses. Right? Otherwise, he will not get impressed. What jokes he is playing, stupid jokes. He may think like that. Right? So different people need uddipan in different ways. Right? You have to show some, you know, graphics to impress Achyut Nityanand Prabhu. Right? Some people don't. For some people, slideshow is a distraction. right? They can't focus on sound vibration. Different people need Uddipan in different ways. So here, you can't encourage demigods by tamas. You can't encourage demons by sattva. They have to be encouraged in different ways. So Lord entered all of them and enhanced their rajas, tamas and sattva so that the churning can happen, okay, without any hindrances. Now, 12th verse. Uparyagendram girirad ivanya akramya hastena sahasra bahu tastaudi vibrahma bhavendra muktair mukhair abhishtuvadbhi sumanobhi vrishta.
Manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara mountain like another great mountain and held Mandara mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva along with Indra, king of heaven, and other demigods offered prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him.
So Lord supported the mountain from bottom, Lord supported the mountain from top, and Lord is supporting the mountain from all, middle also, right? This side demigods, that side demons, in the middle Vasuki, all of them are supported by Lord only. He empowered them in the previous verse. Okay, in that previous verse, previous to previous verse, Lord came as tortoise, okay, from bottom. Now from Ajita, from top. See, Lord is everywhere. Without his sanction, without his approval, without his support, nothing can work, nothing can function. So he was... to balance Mandara mountain while it was being pulled from both sides, so Lord has to hold it with thousands of hands. And another mention here, so demigods are showering flowers on the Lord. So many of the demigods are sitting there and then churning the milk ocean. Where are the demigods left to shower flowers from top? Chakravarti explains that demigods' expansions were showering flowers from the top. Right? Clear? Demigods also can have expansions. So one expansion is churning the milk ocean and another expansion is showering the flowers. Like that. 13th verse. Uparyadaschatmani gotra netrayoha parenate pravishata samedhitaha mamanthurabdhim tarasa madotkata Mahadrinakshobitanakrachakram.
The demigods and demons worked almost madly for the nectar, encouraged by the Lord, who was above and below the mountain, and who had entered the demigods, the demons, Vasuki, and the mountain itself. Because of the strength of the demigods and demons, the ocean of milk was so powerfully agitated that all the alligators in the water were very much perturbed. Nonetheless, the churning of the ocean continued in this way.
So, Lord is everywhere, top, bottom, front, back, left, right, center, everywhere he was there. So ocean was very much powerfully agitated. Then all the alligators in the ocean were perturbed. They were disturbed. So, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj gives very beautiful lessons in this context that to become Krishna conscious, we have to churn our consciousness. Then the essence of pure devotion will come out. So this whole milk ocean churning is compared to churning our consciousness, the process of bhakti, churning of our consciousness as we discussed in the beginning. So when the ocean is churned, all the different alligators get disturbed. So they are compared to anarthas. And they come out of the surface, come out on the surface. So many times somebody may say, I am feeling more angry than I was 10 years back before starting devotional service. I was never so angry, or I was never so lusty, or I was never so envious, or whatever. So many anarthas will come out of the surface of the ocean because the churning is happening. When we are doing jhadu in some room which is very unclean, you know, for 1 week or, you know, 1 month. So when you are clean, now, if you enter the room, all the dust is settled and nothing is happening there, and you can stay there also. But when you start doing jhadu, all the dust will just come up and then you have to close your nose and nobody can enter that room. So much agitation is happening. Why? The process is working there. After 10 minutes or 20 minutes of jhadu and cleaning, then you will be able to enter the room and then Krishna Prem will manifest. So anartha nivritti stage is a very long stage. Right? It's a very... it takes long time for anarthas to get settled or get vanquished. So now, initially when we are practicing Krishna consciousness, when we are getting troubled by some anarthas, we need to understand process is working. Right? Process is working. That's why anarthas are coming out. That is, dust will just come up. When you are doing jhadu, dust will come up only to just go out. We have to be patient. The process is not working. Earlier it was okay. I will stop chanting. Then, right? So no more agitation. So the best way to avoid offenses is what? Best way to avoid offenses in chanting is to stop chanting. But is that a proper way to understand? Tolerate. Okay? Don't terminate. We have to tolerate and proceed. Okay? In spite of so many other difficulties. These alligators were disturbed. They are coming out of the surface. So did they stop churning? No. What does the translation say? Nonetheless, the churning of ocean continued in this way. Still it continued. Devotional service should not stop just because some difficulties or some anarthas are troubling the sadhaka. Like that. Maharaj says, do not get disturbed by seeing the anarthas. One thing is, we should not get disturbed by the anarthas when they come out. Second is, we should not feed those anarthas. This is another important point. So anarthas are already there. They may come out on the surface. Okay, they may manifest in the form of anger or lust or greed or whatever other many different anarthas. They may manifest. So we should not get disturbed or discouraged by them. Another important point is, we should not do anything that enhances those anarthas, that gives them support, that gives them supportive system. So that is very important. We should not defeat the bad dog. So we will see. If you are beating the bad dog will bark. So we have to tolerate that barking. We have to hear that voice. At the same time, we should not feed that bad dog. Let it bark, 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 and then finally get out. So if you are feeding also along with beating the bad dog, it will get strength to bark more and more. Right? You may be beating, but its strength is also increasing. So one should not feed the bad dog also. One should not do anything that will... invoke our old anarthas again. This is also an important lesson here. So churning the ocean of our consciousness is beyond our capacity. This is another important point we need to identify. It's beyond our capacity. So all the demigods or demons could not personally do the churning business. They needed assistance of Supreme Lord at every step. So similarly, our devotional service we cannot do alone. If you just take the bead bag and Bhagavatam and sit in one corner, how long you will survive? Right? With all the set of anarthas and impressions that we are carrying since time immemorial, in so many births, it's difficult to survive for long. But if we take shelter of the association of devotees, if we offer prayers to the Supreme Lord for our survival and then sustenance, then it will help. Lord is helping at every step. So we need to keep our efforts, no doubt. All the demigods and demons were struggling so hard. They are giving every bit of their energy to do the churning. Still, that was not sufficient. Their full 100% efforts to churn the ocean were not sufficient. On top of it, they needed support from the Lord. From top, bottom, left, right, center, in all directions, they needed support from the Lord. So similarly, we have to give our 100% energy, plus we have to depend on the energy of Guru, Sadhu, Shastra and other association of devotees. Right? This is important. So in Kali Yuga, this Supreme Lord, Ajita here, is represented by holy name. So we need to take shelter of him. So demigods are not surrendered theoretically, but they gave every drop of their energy to churn, Maharaj says. Similarly, we need to keep our full endeavor to churn our consciousness. Now, this protest, again, coming back to this protesting point, all the alligators were agitated, right? So when the Britishers who were there in India for a few centuries became agitated when Indians protested. So they were ruling for maybe 200 years, something like that, 200 to 50 years, Britishers were ruling. So when they became agitated when Indians protested. So this was just a short period of time. So Maharaj was giving one nice analogy that the anarthas are there in our heart since time immemorial. How long they were taking shelter of ourselves, right? So how much do they protest? If somebody goes to some nation and then stays for a while and he will get some protest, then here these people, anarthas are staying in our hearts since time immemorial, since hundreds and millions of lifetimes, right? So how much should they protest? Now the lust is there, pride is there, greed is there, they all protest. How can you check me out? How can you just give up my association? I am your associate since millions of births. How can you just throw me out? It says, then if you become little, compassionate on those anarthas who are not willing to go out, who are protesting to stay with you only, if you become compassionate on them, if you fall back to our urges, then our devotional service is not progressing further. You have to continue the jhadu. Okay, the dust is attached to the room. Dust says, I am staying in this room for 1 month. How can you check me out? But still, the jhadu wala should not show any mercy on the dust. Jhadu wala jhadu marte rehne ka. Okay, then he has to clean it completely. On top of it, he has to put some water and then mop the floor completely so that the dust will just vanquish. It will just run away. So if he stops in the middle showing some compassion on the dust which is attached to the room, then the cleaning will not happen. The room will not be worthy of staying that way. 14th verse. Ahindra sahasra kathora drinmukha swasagni dhumahata swasagni dhumahata varcha sosuraha Pauloma kaleya balivaladayo Davagni dagdha sarala iva bhavan.
Vasuki had thousands of eyes and mouths. From his mouths he breathed smoke and blazing fire, which affected the demons headed by Pauloma, Kaleya, Bali, and Ilvala. Thus the demons who appeared like sarala trees burned by a forest fire gradually became powerless.
So this is the result of what they said in text 3. Svadhyaya srata sampanna prakhyata janma karma bhi. Prakhyata janma karma bhi. So this is what has happened to them. All the great demons have become powerless because of the effect of fire from the mouth of Vasuki. Devamsa tatsvasa sikha hata prabhan dhumrambarasrag varakanchukananan samabhyavarshan bhagavad vashaghana vavuh samudro ormi upagudha vayo.
Because the demigods were also affected by the blazing breath of Vasuki, their bodily lusters diminished and their garments, garlands, weapons and faces were blackened by smoke. However, by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, clouds appeared on the sea, pouring torrents of rain, and breezes blew, carrying particles of water from the sea waves to give the demigods relief.
So, devamsa tat svasha sikha hata prabhan. Even the demigods who are quite far from the mouth also, they also received that swasha, the flames from the breathing of Vasuki, and hata prabhan, their effulgence got diminished. You stand in the summer sun for 1 hour, 2 hours, you just walk down, up and down so much, giving tours to guests without a hat, then hata prabhan, you will become exhausted, you will become black by the end of the day, right? You become little tired, that will happen. But Lord is again helping them in this step also. He became like clouds. So Lord appeared as clouds and poured torrents of rains and cool winds also blew because of the Lord to give the demigods relief. So this is a nice point to note. 16th verse. Mathyamana tatha sindhor devasuravaru thapaihi yadasudhana jayeta nirmanthajita swayam.
When nectar did not come from the ocean of milk, despite so much endeavor by the best of the demigods and demons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ajita, personally began to churn the ocean.
So Lord personally began. See, so many times he is coming, intervening and then helping them. So Lord here is leading the whole show, leading the full project of Samudra Manthan. So Samudra Manthan project head, project director is Supreme Lord. It was his brainchild. Okay, he orchestrated. He was helping in every step. So being the whole manager, ultimate managing director of the whole project, he was not just delegating the whole work. He was not just taking decisions and making everyone work for him. He was personally doing things also. And he was available at every step whenever the subordinates or the local subordinate managers are in need of some help, right? So delegation is needed for a manager, and he also has to learn to do some things personally. So Brahmaji is there, he delegates many things, right, to all the prajapatis and other manus, etc. But he also many times does many things. Yashodamayi, she delegated all the work. What is that? Ekada grahadasishu Yashoda Nandagehini karmantara niyukteshu nirmamantha swayam dadhi. So karmantara niyukteshu, all the other gopis are there, grahadasishu. So she engaged all of them in different works. But one work, which is very special, which she only has to do, she was doing nirmamantha swayam dadhi. Like that. That is on a transcendental level. But to get a managerial level, tip from the Samudra Manthan is, even the managing director, ultimate manager also has to do some activity. He just do not sit and then pass orders or then make decisions and then make everyone work while he is sitting idle. So if needed, he has to work personally also. Similarly, when someone is becoming little senior or he may be having some few assistants to do some services, to assist him in various services, he should not lose touch with the ground level situation. And ground level also he has to work, right? So he may be the head of the whole department and some 10 people may be working under him and in that department, but he should also be willing to do some menial service in the department also, right? That's a very important thing. So Lord personally participated here. And one lesson here is, we think that deity worship is for neophytes. Many times, one may think that deity worship is for neophytes. But one of the symptoms of an advanced devotee is that he personally worships the Lord. You see, many sannyasis, they are also having some personal deities where they personally serve, personally offer bhoga, and then dress them or some garland them, and then do many other sevas. So deity worship, definitely it is required for neophytes, but one of the symptoms of advanced devotee is that he personally worships the deity. Like that. Huh? Yesterday Maharaj got, Maharaj brought the deities, Gordan Shilas and all. Yeah, like that. Many senior devotees have that. Yeah. Now we are in 14th verse, 16th verse. 17th verse. So Lord is personally churning. Now important point, why Lord has to personally churn here? Because the nectar did not come out from the ocean of milk despite so much endeavor. So Chakravartipad very nicely explains here, nectar did not come out because first the impure things have to be taken out. Before the nectar, so much halahal and many other impure things should come out. First, Varuni should come. Varuni is like Madhira. What is that? Intoxicating beverage. That should come out. Then the nectar will come out. So, first the impure thing should come out so that the nectar will come out. Chakravartipad gives this explanation. Similarly, when love of Godhead, we say that is prayojan. So, love of Godhead to appear, first anarthas have to go away. That is a lesson from Samudra Manthan episode. So, process of churning is to separate the impurities from this ocean. So, nectar is already there. Okay, nectar is already there in our consciousness. Nectar of Krishna consciousness is already there in every living entity. But the process of churning is to separate out the impurities from that nectar, to remove the impurities. So, Krishna Prem is already there in the hearts of every living entity. Right? By default, every living entity's dearmost object is Krishna. Because he is part and parcel of Krishna. So, his dearness to Krishna is being manifested in his dearness to his own self. His dearness to his own self is manifested as his dearness to his body. And that dearness to the body is manifested as his dearness to bodily relatives, bodily possessions. But ultimately, the dearmost object of every soul is Krishna only. He is Atmanam, Akhilatmanam. He is the soul of all souls. Another important analogy is given. So, Kamsa is there. Kamsa is representing the fear of material existence. And the six children of Devaki, they are representing six sense objects. And Devaki's womb is considered bhakti. Then, Balaramji is personification of service. So, the fear of material existence, Kamsa, kills the six sense objects, which are the six sons of Devaki, from the womb of bhakti, Devaki. So that service will appear. Then once service manifests, okay, in the process, Krishna will automatically come. When Balaramji enters Devaki's womb, Krishna will automatically enter. So this nice analogy is given by Radhika Vallaprabhu. So one more Shastric connection is Vena. Vena's body was there. So Prithu Maharaj has to come out of Vena's body. But first, the thighs of Vena are churned so that Bahuka comes out. That's impure portion of Vena's body. So, Vena's body is a product of both Sunita and Anga. So, the impurity that is caused by Sunita's contact with Vena's body is churned out in the form of Bahuka. And the pure portion of his body, which is coming from Anga, is gave birth to our Prithu Maharaj. Like that. So, nectar is not coming so far because there are so many impurities. So, impurities have to be taken out. So, in every stage of churning, Lord is helping. Right? So, we need to understand that one is not the doer. However much he may put effort, ultimate sanction and support has to come from Supreme Lord. So, he is just borrowing power from the Supreme Lord. So, one more point is walking capacity is already there in the child, but when the parents make him practice walking, he will be able to walk. Like that. 17th verse is describing Lord's beauty. Beautiful. Meghasyama kanaka paritha karna vadyota vidyan. Murdhani bhrajat vilulita kuchah. Sragdharo rakta netra. Jaitrai dorbhir jagadabhayadhair danda dandasukan grihitva. Mathnan mathna pratigirir iva shobhidhato dhritadri.
The Lord appeared like a blackish cloud. He was dressed with yellow garments. His earrings shone as his ears like lightning, and his hair spread over his shoulders. He wore a garland of flowers, and his eyes were pinkish. With his strong, glorious arms, which award fearlessness throughout the universe, he took hold of Vasuki and began churning the ocean, using Mandara Mountain as a churning rod. When engaged in this way, the Lord appeared like a beautifully situated mountain named Indraneela.
So, Lord's beauty is described. In the 18th verse, what came out first is described. 18. Nirmathyamanad udhaver abhudvisham. Udhadhir. Maholbanam hala halavaham halahvaham agrata. Sambhranta meenon makarahi kachapat. Timidvipagraha timingalakulat.
The fish, sharks, tortoises and snakes were most agitated and perturbed. The entire ocean became turbulent, and even the large aquatic animals like whales, water elephants, crocodiles and timingala fish, large whales that can swallow small whales, came to the surface. While the ocean was being churned in this way, it first produced a fiercely dangerous poison called halahal.
So halahala came. So now what is the reaction of all this whole party that is described in the 19th verse? Tadugravegam dishidish chaparyadho visarpad utsarpad asahyam aprati bhitah praja dudruvor angaseshwara arakshyamana sharanam sita sadasivam.
O king, when that uncontrollable poison was forcefully spreading up and down in all directions, all the demigods along with the Lord himself approached Lord Shiva's, Sadashiv. Feeling unsheltered and very much afraid, they sought shelter of him.
So they took shelter. Now, one may get an important question here, that Supreme Lord helped them in various stages till now in the Samudra Manthan. They could not lift Mandara Mountain, Lord came and lifted. Right, Mandara Mountain was sinking and then Lord came as tortoise. So Mandara Mountain was getting imbalanced, Lord came as Ajita and held it from top as support. Then Lord entered as Sattvaguna and Rajoguna and Tamoguna in all the parties, demigods, demons and Vasuki. And then Lord showered rain in the form of clouds and then blue winds in the form of nice breeze. So he personally churned also when nothing is coming out. So why can't he help? Simple reason that Prabhupada gives is, Lord is intending to glorify his devotee. He did so many helps, but he wanted to give the most credit to Shiva. Now, which is popular? So even Samudra Manthan episode you must have heard earlier also, right? Before coming to Krishna consciousness also, before reading Bhagavatam also, you must have heard. So the act that is done by Shiva was more popular than all the activities that are done by Ajita here. I am not sure whether people know Ajita also. Even the name Ajita was also not very popular, although he is orchestrating the whole incident. Okay, that is the main activity that Lord Ajita performed in this Manvantara. Still, Shiva has become popular, you know, so popular for the rest of eternity for drinking poison. Right? Although Krishna orchestrated the whole war of Kurukshetra, he gave full credit to Arjuna. Although Lord Ram already knew where is Sita, he gave the credit of finding Sita to Hanumanji. So Lord's important quality is to give credit to his devotees, to glorify his devotees. Mahaprabhu predicted that the Sankirtan movement will spread everywhere. But how do we know Sankirtan movement? First we know Prabhupada, then we know Sankirtan movement, then we knew Mahaprabhu. Right? So Mahaprabhu predicted, but the whole credit is going to the followers of Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada. So that is why he is Sarva Saundarya Sangraham. Sarva Saundarya Sangraham means he is the collection of all beauty. So collection of all beauty, is not only about the material beauties and spiritual beauties in the entire cosmic manifestation, but the beauty of his character. What is that beauty? To give credit to his devotees, not to keep credit for his own self. So this image, so many people know this image, but hardly in any other image in outside world you will find Ajita there. Only in ISKCON painting you will find Ajita holding from top of Mandara mountain, like that. So he wants to glorify his devotee. That was his main thing. So Mahaprabhu came, he just gave 8 verses only, but all the katha is done by his devotees. So he was sitting in front of Ramananda Rai, Sancharya Ramabhida Bhaktamege Swabhakti Siddhanta Chayamrutani. So Mahaprabhu became the ocean of the conclusive truths of all Vedic knowledge, and he was empowering the cloud of Ramananda Rai, and that cloud is raining on this ocean. So Mahaprabhu, although he only empowered Ramananda Rai, but he was just sitting as a hearer, as a student of Ramananda Rai, and learning all the Siddhantas of Bhakti. What is sadhana, what is sadhya, what is the topmost sadhya, all that he is learning from Ramananda Rai. He gave so much credit to Ramananda Rai. He was just taking the role of a student. So that is the nature of a devotee, nature of a Supreme Lord. He just wants to see his devotee glorified, more than himself also. Krishna could not convince Yudhishthira Maharaj. Krishna's expansion, literary incarnation, the most learned Vyasadev, he could not convince Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? Only so that Bhishmadev can be glorified as somebody who just convinced Yudhishthira Maharaj. Okay, and so that he is not at fault, his duty is to rule the kingdom, all that. So nobody could convince him about that he is faultless, but Bhishmadev could convince him. He wanted to glorify Bhishmadev. So all these demigods are going to Lord Shiva and then offering prayers. Vilokyatam dam. Vilokyatam deva varam trilokya bhavaya devya abhimatam muninam asina madra apavarga hetos tapojushanam srutibhih panemu.
The demigods observed Lord Shiva sitting on the summit of Kailash hill with his wife Bhavani for the auspicious development of the three worlds. He was being worshipped by great saintly persons desiring liberation. The demigods offered him their obeisances and prayers with great respect.
So they offered him obeisances and they will start to pray. Prayers we will discuss after break. 5 minutes. Hare Krishna. First verse. Shri Prajapataya Uchuhu Deva Deva Mahadeva Bhutatman Bhutabhavanam Trahinasharana Pannams Trailokya Dahanad Vishat.
The Prajapati said, O greatest of all demigods, Mahadev, supersoul of all living entities and cause of their happiness and prosperity, we have come to the shelter of your lotus feet. Now please save us from this fiery poison which is spreading all over the three worlds.
Deva Deva Mahadeva Bhutatman Bhutabhavana. So Bhutabhavana is the cause of happiness and flourishing of all Bhutas. Bhutatman is the soul of everyone in this world. So all these should refer to Krishna, not Shiva. Right? And Shiva is the in charge of annihilation. So why should he be approached for protection? He is not in charge of maintenance. And on top of it, all the demigods approached Shiva along with Vishnu. What happened? Hare Krishna. So all the demigods approached Shiva along with Vishnu. So, and although Shiva is the in charge of destruction. So Prabhupada explains that Brahmaji and Shiva, they are Shaktyavesha avataras of Vishnu. So they are endowed with special power like that of Vishnu only, who is all pervading in their activities. So Vishnu is all pervading in the activities of Brahma and Shiva because they are Shaktyavesha avatars. So we need to understand that whenever prayers for protection are offered to Shiva, actually Vishnu is indicated. So ultimately protector is Vishnu only. If prayers of protection are offered to Shiva, we need to understand that they are being offered to Vishnu only. They are indicating Vishnu only. For otherwise, Shiva is actually meant for destruction. So Shiva is one of the Ishwaras, controllers. Therefore, he can be addressed as having the qualities of Vishnu. So once Gaurang Prabhu was saying, Shiva's service is in the end. But he was created in the beginning only. Right? Brahmaji could have created Shiva at the end. So he created in the beginning. Why? So Prabhuji was making a point that Shiva and Parvati are fulfilling the benedictions of conditioned souls, right, materialistic people. But they are living under a tree. Shiva and Parvati, they are not living in an opulent palace. Although they are fulfilling everyone's benediction. So there is a message there. After repeatedly asking them benedictions, you need to understand, what are they doing? They are giving us this benediction, but they are feeling so, they are seemingly very much detached and they are not attached to any material opulence, although they are bestowing material opulence. Is there something higher than material opulence? So the worshipper will get to this and will come to this understanding after approaching Shiva and Bhavani for several times. So that is a message in Shiva's being staying like a mendicant. And here Shiva's officially allocated service is destruction. But he did not hesitate to do this service also. Many times in our departmental allocation happens is like, okay, this is what is my official service. So Prabhu, this AB Karna, this is not allocated by my authority. Why should I do? So like that. So he's official, he's meant for destruction. So there is his main work. But Shiva is doing this work also. Sometimes, although he's meant for destruction, sometimes he protects also. So destruction and protection, both he will do. Okay, although he is meant for destruction. So next verses, 22nd verse. Tvameka sarva jagata Ishvaro bandha mokshayo Tam tvam arachit tam tam archanti kushalah prapannartiharam gurum.
O Lord, you are the cause of bondage and liberation of the entire universe because you are its ruler. Those who are advanced in spiritual consciousness surrender unto you, and therefore you are the same. You are the cause of mitigating their distresses, and you are also the cause of their liberation. We therefore worship your lordship.
So actually, Vishnu maintains and accomplishes all good fortune, right? So why should one take shelter of Shiva in this way? So they are doing so because Vishnu acts through Shiva in the creation of material world. Important thing to understand Shiva's role properly. So Vishnu may be doing everything, but he is many times acting through the medium of Shiva. Vishnu never comes in contact with material nature. When Vishnu comes in contact with material nature, he does it through the medium of Shiva, in the capacity of Shiva. So we will understand this more when we are studying the Advaita Tattva in the Adilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, 6th chapter. So Kshiram Yatha Jadivikara Vishesha Yogat. So Vishnu is like milk, then Shiva is like curd. So when Vishnu has to interact with material nature, he does it through the medium of Shiva. So when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Pratap Pita, so that Pita is actually Shiva. I am Pita, right? But I do it in the form of Shiva. So that's why Vishnu and Shiva and Parvati are considered Jagatah Pitaram Vande Parvati Parameshwarau. Kalidas says, Jagatah Pitaram Vande. But which Jagat? This Jagat. In this Jagat, there is Shiva and Parvati. They are Jagatah Pitaram within this universe. But Krishna or Mahavishnu is the Pita of millions of universes. So his position is always superior to Shiva. But whenever he has to interact with the material nature, he does it in the capacity of Shiva. He does it through the medium of Shiva. So he is like the person who approves or sponsors a building. Right? But just by sponsoring, it's not sufficient. We need an architect to make the building. That architect is Advaita Acharya. But just an architect plan is not sufficient. A maestri has to actually touch the cement and brick. So the person who touches the cement and brick is Shiva. And the cement and brick is the material nature. Clear? So Shiva comes in contact with material nature. Advaita is still between Mahavishnu and Shiva only. He is also not completely coming in contact with the material nature. But Vishnu will never come in contact with material nature. So all these prayers are being offered to Vishnu only. Okay. That's why Advaita is called Advaitam Hrinadvaita. Twenty-second verse. Tvam eka sarva jagata. Oh, this we have discussed, right? Now we will discuss 23rd verse. Gunamaya svasaktasya sargasthityapyayan vibho dhaste yada svadruk bhuman brahma vishnu sivadibham sivabhidam.
O Lord, you are self-effulgent and supreme. You create this material world by your personal energy and you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara when you act in creation, maintenance and annihilation.
So actually Shambhu is a transformation of Vishnu only for the performance of the work of destruction. That's what the Brahma Samhita verse says. Kshiram Yatha Ratibhikara Vishesha Yogat. What's next? Samupayati Karyat Govindamadi Krishna. Okay. So here in the 23rd verse, he is being glorified as self-effulgent and supreme. So it's very clear, Prabhupada says that this prayer is actually offered to Vishnu only. Right? So you create this material world by your personal energy and you assume names of Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. He is actually addressing Vishnu only. addressing the Supreme Lord, not Shiva. So that is made very much clear. Even in this, fourth canto, sixth chapter, we find that Brahmaji goes to Shiva and then he glorifies Shiva in so many ways as if he is the Supreme. But in the next chapter, 4.7, when Vishnu comes in the sacrifice of Daksha, all the demigods glorify Vishnu as Supreme Controller. So whenever Shiva or Brahma is being glorified as Supreme, we need to understand that their expansions, their being expansions of Supreme Lord is being acknowledged there. So in that sense, they are non-different. And many times those prayers are addressed to Vishnu only. And we need to understand it that way. That's how Prabhupada clarifies here. 24th verse. Tvam Brahma Paramam Guhyam Sadasad Bhavama Bhavanam Nana Shakti Bhir Abhatas Tvam Atma Jagadishvara.
You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation.
So, impersonal Brahman. So, originally impersonal Brahman is what? It's just the effulgent rays of Parabrahman. And who is that Parabrahman? Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when Shiva is worshipped as Parabrahman, the worship is meant for Vishnu. Prabhupada again clarifies. Now, next few verses, 25 to 31, they explain that Lord Shiva is the total of everything in this universe. Tvam shabdayo nir jagada adiratma pranendriya dravya guna swabhava kalah kratus satyamritam cha dharmas tvayaksharam yat trivirud atmananti.
O Lord, you are the original source of Vedic literature. You are the original cause of material creation, the life force, the senses, the five elements, the three modes and the Mahat Tattva. You are eternal time, determination and the two religious systems called truth, Satya and truthfulness, Rata. You are the shelter of the syllable Om, which consists of three letters, Om.
Agnirmukham te khila devatatma kshitim vidurloka bhavangri pankajam kalam gatim te khila devatatmano dishaschakarnau rasanam jalesham.
O father of all planets, learned scholars know that fire is your mouth. The surface of the globe is your lotus feet. Eternal time is your moment. All the directions are your ears. And Varuna, the master of water, is your tongue.
So this is something like universal form description, something similar. Nabhisnabhaste svasanam nabhasvan suryasya chakshus mijalam smatreta Paravaratma Shrayanam Tavatma Somo Manodyor Bhagavan Siraste.
O Lord, the sky is your navel, the air is your breathing, the sun is your eyes, and the water is your semen. You are the shelter of all kinds of living entities, high and low. The god of the moon is your mind, and the upper planetary system is your head.
Kukshis samudra girayo sthisangha Romani sarva ushadhi virudhaste Chandamsi sakshat tavasaptadhatavas Trayimayatman hridayam swadharma.
O Lord, you are the three Vedas personified. The seven seas are your abdomen and the mountains are your bones. All drugs, creepers and vegetables are the hairs on your body, and the Vedic mantras like Gayatri are the seven layers of your body, and the Vedic religious system is the core of your heart.
Mukhani pancho panishadas tavesha yaistrismad ashtotara mantra varga yattachivakhyam paramatma tattvam Devasvayam Jyotiravasthitaste.
O Lord, the five important Vedic mantras are represented by your five faces, from which the 38 most celebrated Vedic mantras have been generated.
Mm.
Your Lordship, being celebrated as Lord Shiva, is self-illuminated. You are directly situated as the supreme truth known as Paramatma.
So the five mantras mentioned here are Purusha, Aghora, Sadyojata, Vamadeva and Ishana. And what are the 32 categories of special Vedic mantras coming out of this? You can refer 31st purport. There are 32 things, mantras, in the next page. So they are generated from these five. So Prabhupada in this purport, he explains two reasons why Shiva is called Shiva. So one reason is five mantras are here. So special Vedic mantras are chanted by Shiva, who is therefore celebrated as Shiva. One reason is because he is chanting these special Vedic mantras. Second reason is he is all auspicious and he is self-illuminated and he is exactly like Vishnu, who is Paramatma. Okay? Prabhupada adds that he is exactly like Vishnu, who is Paramatma. Demigods say you are Paramatma. So Prabhupada says he is like Vishnu, who is Paramatma. 30th verse. Chayatva dharmor mishu yair visargo. Netratrayam sattva rajastamamsi. Sankhyatmana shastra kritastaveksha. Chandomayo deva rishih purana.
O Lord, your shadow is seen in irreligion, which brings about varieties of irreligious creations. The three modes of nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your glance.
Nate giritra khilalo kapala. Virincha Vaikuntha Surendra Gamyam. Jyotih Param Yatra Rajastamascha. Sattvam Nayad Brahma Nirasta Bhedam.
O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the various directors of this material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu or the King of Heaven, Mahendra.
Mm. So this is about impersonal Brahman effulgence. Prabhupada says that although the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth is an expansion of the rays of Krishna, he does not need to take care of the impersonalists who enter that Brahma Jyoti. So impersonalists may take shelter of Shiva. Okay, and then they may enter Brahma Jyoti. Lord is not obliged to take care of them. So they will fall down again. If you enter the Vaikuntha planets, then Lord will take care of you. If you just enter the impersonal Brahma Jyoti, he need not take care of you. He is not obliged. Mayatatamadam sarvam jagadavyakta murchana. So Lord is definitely the basis of impersonal Brahman. And in his impersonal feature, he is pervading the entire universe. But he is not accountable. Right? You cannot catch him. Why you are not taking care of people who take shelter of impersonal Brahman? No, you surrender to me first. You perform devotional service with your senses, then I will take care of you. Like that. Mayavadis who prefer to merge into the Brahman effulgence worship Shiva. By these mantras, 29 mantras are given. Now, in the last paragraph, Prabhupada is explaining that is Lord Vishnu not omniscient? Is he not all-knowing? So impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of material creation, including Brahma, Shiva and Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in this all-pervading expansion. He is aloof. Therefore, he says, Maya Tadamadam Sarvam, he does not need to take care of everything. Nachaham Teshu Avasthitaha. Since there are various directors like Brahma, Shiva and Indra, he already outsourced those activities. So why he has to take care? Like that. 32. Kamadhara Tripurakala Garadyaneka. Kamadhara Bhutadruha Kshapataya Kshapayata Stuyate Stutayena Tatte Yastvantakala Idamatmakritam Svanetra Vahnispulinga Sikhaya Bhashitam Naveda.
When annihilation is performed by the flames and sparks emanating from your eyes, the entire creation is burned to ashes. Nonetheless, you do not know how this happens. What then is to be said of your destroying the Daksha Yajna, Tripurasura and the Kalakuta poison? Such activities cannot be subject matters for prayers offered to you.
So, Shiva does so many such important activities, great activities. So, annihilation, fire emanates from his mouth and the whole creation is burnt to ashes. Then he destroyed Daksha Yajna. He destroyed Tripurasura, we read in 7th canto. But Shiva never considers that he is performing some great activities. Shiva is always, he forgets only. The demigods indirectly prayed Lord Shiva to counteract the Kalakuta poison. Now, by enumerating his previous activities of, you know, destroying Daksha Yajna or killing Tripurasura, they are indicating that now you have to drink this poison and save us. So when we are in need, we don't know whom we will engage, right? We can engage anyone in our service. So they are dependent. Of course, in one sense, their request is bona fide. In another sense, they are having some agenda in approaching a demigod. Prabhupada later explains this concept that whenever a demigod is approached, it's often with a material intention. You have done this, you have done that, you have done that. You can do this also. No? Please do this. Please drink this poison. That's what they are saying. So, here power of Shiva is described nicely. So, destroying poison is nothing for Shiva. Even Lord Shiva is not aware of this power. They have to remind him. For example, Hanumanji also many times forgets his power. Jambavan comes and reminds him, "Are you did this, you did that, you have this strength, that strength. So now you can expand yourself and cross the ocean of Lanka." So Shiva has to be reminded of his potential. Sometimes he may forget also. So Krishna also sometimes is not aware of his attractiveness or sweetness. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya. To understand his own sweetness. To understand how he is attractive to others. Right? Swamadhurya. So, Shiva is being reminded by these people. They are definitely, desperately dependent on him. Yetvatma Rama Guru Bhir Hridi Chintitanghri Dvandvam Charantamumaya Tapasabhi Taptam Kathanta Ugra Purusham Niratam Samasane Smashane Tenunamutimavidam Stavahata Lajjaha.
Exalted self-satisfied persons who preach to the entire world think of your lotus feet constantly within their hearts. However, when persons who do not know your austerity see you moving with Uma, they misunderstand you to be lusty, or when they see you wandering in the crematorium, they mistakenly think that you are ferocious and envious. Certainly, they are shameless. They cannot understand your activities.
So, ye tvatma rama gurubhir hridi chintitanghri dvandvam. So, this great Atma Ramas, Gurubhi, self-satisfied, greatest of all the self-satisfied, Hridi Chintitanghri Dandvam. They, in their hearts, Chintita, they think of your Anghri Dandvam, your two lotus feet. And Charantam Unmaya Tapasabhitaptam. And you are moving with your concert, Umaya, Charantam Umaya. When you are wandering, people will not understand that you are a great tapasi. They don't know your austerity. When you are moving with Uma, they think that you are a lusty man. Right? Kathanta Ugra Purusham Niratam Smashane. When you are wandering in Smashana, crematorium, they think that you are a ferocious and envious person. Tenona mutim avidams tava hata lajjah. Such people are hata lajjah. Lajjah means shame. Hata lajjah means they are shameless. Only shameless people will misunderstand you. A very important point being made here that Vaishnavanam yatha simbuk. Shimbhu is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vignetena bhuja. It's very difficult to understand the activities of a Vaishnav in the right spirit or right mood. So he is Vaishnavanam yatha simbhu. He is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. How can you understand his activities? Even the most intelligent person cannot understand what a Vaishnav like Lord Shiva is doing and how he is acting. Prabhupada says, those who are conquered by lusty desires and anger cannot estimate the glories of Lord Shiva, whose position is always transcendental. Daksha could not understand the position of Lord Shiva. He gave some vakrabhashya. You are doing this because you are like this. Right? You are Markata Lochana, you are this, you are that. He just blasphemed Shiva in so many ways. So one who tries to criticize the activities of Shiva is shameless. Such person is hata lajjah. That's only such people can criticize Shiva. So we need to understand that misunderstanding is a constant theme in this world. Anyone can misunderstand anyone in this world, in this material world. Even great, even Krishna is misunderstood twice. By whom? By Dwarkavasis only. In the Samantakamani episode, Dwarkavasis misunderstand Krishna two times in that episode. If Krishna is misunderstood, who am I? If other people misunderstand me, what a big deal. It's not a big thing. Shiva is misunderstood. Vishnu is misunderstood. And Vishnu, Vaishnavanam yatha simbhu, Shiva is misunderstood. And Krishna is misunderstood. Right, Ram is misunderstood many times. Bharat is misunderstood. What if someone misunderstands me? That we need to understand. So if people understand us and people know our intentions properly, that's the greatest wonder in this world. And oftentimes we are not so innocent. Right? We do some goof-ups and then we leave some communication gaps. That's why people misunderstand us. Right? We are not purely innocent like Bharat or Shiva or Krishna also. That's another point. Right? So here Narada Muni, he gives shelter to Kayadu. How can a young Narada Muni give shelter to another man's wife? People may misunderstand. Narada Muni can do it, you cannot do it. That is the point. So conditioned souls, even practicing devotees, Prabhupada mentions in one purport, even practicing devotees cannot understand the behavior of perfect devotees with their material mind and intelligence. Because practicing devotees means, when practicing devotees cannot make an internal adjustment in their perception, it is recommended that they should not come in close proximity with a Mahabhagavad devotee. Because when Mahabhagavad devotee's behavior is little different or little different from the ordinary course of Vaishnava behavior, a practicing devotee who has not completely taken shelter of the internal energy of the Lord, who is still affected by the external energy of the Lord, such fellow cannot understand those activities in proper spirit. So Mahabhagavad devotees' activities have to be understood and accepted in a very sensitive and a very careful manner. But Mahabhagavad devotees' activities are misunderstood by neophyte practicing devotees. So better stay away from them. Keep respectable distance. Keep safe distance. That is very much recommended. Prabhupada also says, sometimes coming too near to the deity, coming too near to the spiritual master is degrading a neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee becomes too familiar with the deities or spiritual master or some senior devotees, it is degrading. He is always deity and then he says, oh, na kachanai. Or it's not proper, right? That deity is better. So they just evaluates the deity in their material standards, in their own ways. They become familiar with the deities. Once a deity is installed, prana pratishta is done by a pure devotee, so that is no more stone, that is Krishna himself, that is Srimati Radharani herself. So you can't just have your own opinions and then with the deities. So that is neophyte. So better stay away from the deities. Away from, you don't take darshanasana, you don't go close so much. Right? Understanding one's own inability or immaturity. Similarly, with spiritual master or with senior devotees. Right? So better to maintain a safe and respectful distance. That's why personal servants of deity and spiritual masters should always be very careful. For negligence may overcome them in their duty. Negligence. So, in one purport, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita purport, Prabhupada writes, that is the context where Nityananda Prabhu is kicking Shivanand Sen and cursing his three sons to die. So, Shivanand Sen, being a pure Vaishnav, he could understand the mood of Nityananda Prabhu and then he could perceive it as mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. But his nephew, Srikant Sen, he could not understand it in right spirit. Later he went and complained in front of Mahaprabhu because he was not very advanced like Shivanand Sen. He is not so advanced. So here, Prabhupada gives a very important lesson that Shivanand Sen understood or accepted Nityananda Prabhu's kick with his feet as a blessing. Such unconditional acceptance of a great devotee's behavior is compulsory in the practice of devotional service. Unconditional acceptance of a great devotee's behavior is compulsory. No option. A senior devotee, advanced Vaishnava, may behave in various ways. Can you unconditionally accept it without criticizing him, without offending him, even mentally? Then that becomes a compulsory item in devotional service. Right? The person may be wrong, but it's not my duty to evaluate him on that standards. From my side, because he is a senior person, he has practiced for such a long time, devotional service. So from my side, I should not have any negative impression on him. I should not carry any negative emotion towards him. That's all. That is a compulsory in practice of devotional service, especially when you are dealing with the deity and guru. So again, persons with this kind of discriminating judgment should maintain a respectful distance from highly elevated devotees so as to avoid finding fault in them. So immunity from criticism does not extend to devotees in sadhana bhakti. So sadhakas are not immune to criticism. They have tendency to criticize. So because practicing devotees are not directly and fully under the guidance of internal energy, but they are still in touch with material energy, they are subject to the defects of material energy. Clear? Practicing devotee means he is not completely daivim prakriti mashrita. He is still contacting material energy. He has not taken complete shelter of daivim prakriti. So this are bound to happen. So better stay away. So here they are saying that Shiva's activities are misunderstood. So please don't unnecessarily misunderstand Shiva's activities. If someone misunderstands, then he is hata lajjaha. He is shameless. The activities of a practicing devotee, but on the other hand, this is about advanced Vaishnavas. We should not misunderstand him. But the activities of practicing devotees must conform in all details to the standard Vaishnava etiquette. Are we practicing devotees or not? We are practicing devotees. So our behavior should exactly in line with the standard Vaishnava behavior. If we deviate, that's a mistake. But if an advanced devotee deviates, you should not consider it mistake. Right? Forget whether he is advanced or not. Even in any way, if he is somehow superior to you, in some way or the other, better, it's safe not to judge him. Okay, he must have been initiated before you, or he may have spent more years in Brahmachari Ashram Krishna or Krishna Consciousness before you. In whatever way, he may be little superior to me, better I don't judge him. That is a safer position for a practice devotee. But because I am practicing devotee, my conduct should very much in line with the standard Vaishnava etiquette. So that is the message Prabhupada gives. Even Shiva chastises Sati Devi. in 6th canto, 17th chapter, in the episode of Chitraketu, Shiva says, Shiva tells Parvati that devotees are like this. Chitraketu is a great devotee. You cannot understand the words of a devotee. You cannot understand the actions of a devotee. He says like that. If that is the case in those circles, what to speak of us? How can we criticize somebody? Like that. 34th verse. Tattasya te sad asato pratah parasya nagnasvarupa gamane prabhavanti bhumna. Brahmadayah kimutasam stavane vayamtu tat sarga sarga vishaya apishakti matram.
Even personalities like Lord Brahma and other demigods cannot understand your position, for you are beyond the moving and non-moving creation. Since no one can understand you in truth, how can one offer you prayers? It is impossible. As far as we are concerned, we are creatures of Lord Brahma's creation. Under the circumstances, therefore, we cannot offer you adequate prayers, but as far as our ability allows, we have expressed our feelings.
So, they understood their capacity. We can glorify you only to this extent. Right? As far as we are concerned, we are just creatures of Brahma's creation. So, as far as our ability allows, we will express our feelings. Same mood is seen in Suta Goswami. He says, as much as a bird flies in the sky, depends on its capacity. Sky may be unlimited, but bird can fly only to some extent. Similarly, I can describe Krishna only to some extent. Prachetas say that, Prahlad Maharaj says that. So there are many other devotees who have a similar mood. So we cannot be like some other devotees. Somebody may have more capacity, we may have less capacity. We cannot be him. Okay, somebody may memorize 10 verses in a day, somebody may memorize only 1 verse in a day. We cannot be like someone else. But we are not so insignificant that we are useless. We have some capacity, that you need to understand. We have some capacity, every person can do some service. Even a squirrel can just push some small stones and pebbles for the making of Setu Bandhan. It should do its best. Idea is doing our own best. We may not be doing the best, we should do our best. So we should make sure that we are doing our best in our service, in our sadhana. Okay, in our everything. So if we are spacing out, if we are wasting our energy, if we are underutilizing our physical energy or intellectual energy or mental energy, that is wrong. But if we are doing our best, then it's all right. Right? So we need not be someone else. 35th verse. Etat param prapashyamo. Naparam te Maheshwara Mrudanaya hi lokasya Vyaktiste Vyakta Karmana.
O greatest of our rulers, your actual identity is impossible for us to understand. As far as we can see, your presence brings flourishing happiness to everyone. Beyond this, no one can appreciate your activities. We can see this much and nothing more.
So, Prabhupada in this purport mentions the motivated worship of the demigods. So, here demigods are approaching another demigod with a motive. What? Kama istaisthair hritagnana. Their inner purpose is to please Shiva so that he would rectify the disturbing situation caused by halahal, kalakuta. So, that is often when somebody approaches demigods, there is a some motive behind it. It's not like unconditional. Anya abhilashta shunyam worship they don't do. They have some abhilasha. So now 36th verse onwards, we find Lord Shiva taking permission from Parvati. Now this is a very important incident. He has to drink poison now. What will Parvati say? What will my wife say? I have to consult my wife. So Shiva consults his wife now. 36. Shri Shuka Uvacha. Tadvikshavasanam tasam kripaya brishapidita सर्वभूतसुहृद्देव इदम् आह सतीं प्रियाम्।
Srila Sukhdev Goswami continued, Lord Shiva is always benevolent towards all living entities. When he saw that the living entities were very much disturbed by the poison, which was spreading everywhere, he was very compassionate. Thus he spoke to his eternal consort Sati as follows.
So Shiva is always benevolent towards all living entities. He is Kripaya, he is compassionate. Sarva Bhuta Suhrut Deva, he is a well-wisher of all living entities. That is the nature of devotees, right? Compassion. Sarva Bhuta Suhrid and Kripa. These are the qualities of great devotees. Janasya Krishna Vimukhasya Devata Dharma Silasya Sudukhitasya Anugrahayeha Charantinonam Bhutani Bhavyani Janardhanasya. So when all the living entities are turning their face away from Krishna and suffering in this material world, Anugrahayeha, out of their compassion towards those fallen souls, all the great, compassionate, philanthropic devotees will wander. Right. Now let's see what Shiva is inquiring from Parvati. Now this whole episode, Vishnu is taking a back seat. He was just observing the whole show. Someone else is being glorified. Someone else is being given full credit as the savior, right, of the whole thing. But Vishnu is just watching the whole show. So an ideal leader will never feel insecure when someone else is getting more credit than himself. So many prayers. When Vishnu is just standing in front, they are glorifying Shiva. You are our savior. We have no other shelter. I am there so far. I have so many times saved you. You are forgetting me and approaching him. No insecurity. His position is fixed there. Right? And forget about insecurity. He is in bliss. That my devotee is being glorified. My devotee Lord Shiva will be glorified for the rest of eternity for drinking this poison. He is in ecstasy. He was not in insecurity. Like that. Now Shiva is watching. Shiva is inquiring. Aho abata bhavan yetad prajanam pashya vaishasam kshiroda mathano bhutat Kalakota Dupasthitam. My dear Bhavani, just see how all these living entities have been placed in danger because of the poison produced from the churning of milk ocean. Asam prana pari sunam vidheyam abhayam hime etavanhi prabhor artho Yaddina Paripalanam.
It is my duty to give protection and safety to all living entities struggling for existence. Certainly, it is the duty of the master to protect his suffering dependents.
It is duty. He is not thinking that, they are asking me some favor. I have to go out of my way to do something. I am doing a great favor to them. That was not his mood. It is my duty. Okay, it is my responsibility to manage this chaos. Right? Vidheyam, abhayam hime. Vidheyam means something that should be done. Okay, you have no other option. It's your duty to do it. It's your responsibility to do it. He's thinking like that. Vidheyam, abhayam hime. Their safety is my vidheyam. Yad dina paripalanam. To give protection to dina, suffering humanity, is my duty. Vidheyam. The next few verses are very important, very nice, right? Message-oriented lessons. Pranaisvai pranina panti sadhavakshana bhangurai badhavaireshu bhuteshu mohiteshvatma mayaya.
People in general, being bewildered by the illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are always engaged in animosity towards one another. Mm. But devotees, even at the risk of their own temporary lives, try to save them.
Very important. Pranaihi, svaihi, praninai, panti. So, panti means protection. So, devotees, sadhavaha, devotees, they give their own lives for the protection of other people's lives. Pranaihi Swaihi Pranina Panti Sadavaha Kshanabhangurahi. Their prana or their life is Kshanabhangura, it's very temporary. Right? So other people, Baddhavaireshu Bhuteshu Mohiteshu Atmamaya, they become, other people become Baddhavaireshu, they become unnecessarily envious. Bhuteshu, of other living entities. Mohiteshu Atmamaya, by being bewildered by the Maya, external energy of Krishna, they become envious of other living entities. But devotees, even at the cost of their own lives, they protect the lives of other people. That is the nature of devotees. Devotees paradukha dukhi. And everyone is in the material world, is in samsara davanala. So the parampara system is to try to save the people from this dangerous materialistic life of samsara davanala. So here, Shiva is exemplifying this mood of a Vaishnav, of paradukha dukhi. Pumsah krupayato badre sarvatma priyate hari priteharo bhagavati priyeham sucharachara sacharachara tasmat idam garam bhunje prajanam swastirastume.
My dear gentle wife Bhavani, when one performs benevolent activities for others, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is very pleased. And when the Lord is pleased, I am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Therefore, let me drink this poison, for all the living entities may thus become happy because of me.
Let me drink this poison. So Vaishnava, his mood is he never wants to lose an opportunity to serve other living entities. Never wants to lose an opportunity for service. He never wants to escape from service. Are ye log mere paas aa rahe, I have to hide somewhere. No, that was not his mood. So let me drink this poison, right, to serve all of them. That was Vaishnava's mood. 41. Sri Shuka Uvacha Evam Amantriya Bhagavan Bhavanim Vishwabhavana Tadvisham Tadvisham Jagdhumarebhe Prabhava Jnanvavo Madda.
Srila Sukhdev Goswami continued, after informing Bhavani in this way, Lord Shiva began to drink the poison, and Bhavani, who knew perfectly well the capabilities of Lord Shiva, gave him her permission to do so.
So Parvati gave permission. Why? Because she knew the power of Shiva. Shiva will not be affected. Parvati is confident of that. So when you know the power of a person, you will not get bewildered. So our Parshuram, he was asked by Jamadagni, you kill your mother. He just killed. Because he knows Jamadagni has the power to revive also. Right? First I will kill and satisfy him. Later I will ask a benediction so that he will revive my mother. So once you know the power of a person, you don't doubt whatever he does. Okay, he is powerful. He can handle the situation. Let him do whatever. You know the power of Sachidulal Prabhu to carry so much luggage. You give one more mosquito net and then he will take. No problem. Right? Are back pain aa jayega isko. He will not have to think about it. Earlier. Similarly, when somebody is trusted for some service, he becomes trustworthy for, you know, his authorities. He has exhibited such great behavior earlier. That's why he has become trustworthy. Otherwise, it's not easy to win the trust of authorities or anyone else for some service. So here, Parvati here, she is trusting Shiva for this activity. Right? She is not having any doubts that, oh, it may affect my husband, how will I live? Mera kya hoga? No, she was not in that mood. So, another important element here is, Shiva is taking permission from his wife. Because he is supposed to protect his wife. He is supposed to give protection to his wife. So, without permission of someone who has surrendered unto you, someone whose sustenance is dependent unto you, he cannot take life risks. Right? So, he is risking by drinking poison right? He is doing a very serious activity, right? He has to consult someone who is dependent on him. He is doing it, right? But another important point is, by giving permission to Lord Shiva, Parvati also participated in this great sacrifice. So Parvati also will get credit for this activity, for saving all the demigods and demons from this halahal, for saving the entire universe from halahal, because she approved his act. Okay, she got the first authority to say yes or no to what Shiva is going to do, and she said yes, and she also got credit for this activity. Radhika Valla Prabhu gives this example about this, our Gopinath Prabhu in Chopati. He gave his kidney to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, although they had one small child also, right? But his wife gave him permission, and she also got blessings of all the Vaishnavas, and she also got credit for this activity like that. Now, Prabhupada also mentions that many people are maintaining slaughterhouses, so many animals are being killed. The person who is eating the flesh or meat is responsible. Somebody who is cooking the meat, he is also responsible. Somebody is killing the animal, he is also responsible. Somebody who approved the killing by giving permission to slaughterhouse, he is also responsible. Right? Everyone is responsible. Not the person who just eats or who just kills. Or someone else is killing, we are just eating. Where is our mistake? You are also responsible. Everyone will share the sinful reaction. Like that. Even Prithu Maharaj also, he requested I request all the pure-hearted demigods, forefathers and saintly persons to support my proposal. For after death, the result of an action is equally shared by its doer, its director and its supporter. The result of any action is shared by the doer, director and supporter. Prabhupada says in that purport that many people are preaching Krishna consciousness and many people are supporting that Krishna consciousness movement. The supporters and the preachers, both will get benefited. So this is important. Then 42nd verse. Tatah karatali kritya vyapihala halam halahalam visham abhakshayan mahadeva kripaya bhuta bhavana.
Thereafter, Lord Shiva, who is dedicated to auspicious benevolent work for humanity, compassionately took the whole quantity of poison in his palm and drank it.
Whole quantity, like in this painting. So one should not imitate Lord Shiva. Shiva drank poison, I will also drink some poison. Okay, no need. Understand your capacity and work accordingly. So Lord Shiva can do whatever he likes. But those who try to imitate Shiva by smoking ganja and other poisonous things will certainly be killed because of such activities. Will certainly be killed. So we need not try to imitate anyone. We can just observe the thing and we can be a participant. So Narada Muni gave shelter to Kayadu. We need not imitate him and give shelter to some college student, girl or someone else, some abandoned woman or some widow or someone. No need. So we need not do that. So no college preaching. I will do animal preaching. So Mahaprabhu preached in Jharkhand, he made tigers and elephants dance. I will go to some forest and make tigers and elephants dance. No, you will lose the ability to dance only if you go to the forest. That will be your last dance. That will be your last walking. So no need. Do whatever we can. 43. Tasyapi darshayam asam svaviryam jalakalmasha yachakaragale neelam tachya sadhor vibhushanam.
As if in defamation, the poison born from the ocean of milk manifested its potency by marking Lord Shiva's neck with a bluish line. That line, however, is now accepted as an ornament of the Lord.
So the blue line that is formed on the neck of Lord Shiva because of drinking poison has become his ornament. it is said that the wounds on Kshatriya's body, which he gets in different wars, they are ornaments of Kshatriya's body. Right? So, when we work so hard for Krishna, even in hot sun, and when perspiration comes on our face, that is ornament. Right? So, whatever you do for the welfare of others, even if it apparently creates some dark mark on your body or on your health or something, whatever, that is an ornament. There is an ornament in that Vaishnava's body. Right? When you, especially when you lose it for the sake of other devotees. Now, the most important verse of the chapter, the heart of this chapter, of the heart of this whole episode comes, 44th verse. Tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho janah paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah tapyante lokatapena sadhava prayasho janah paramaradhanam taddhi
Purushasya akhilatmanah. It is said that great personalities almost always accept voluntary suffering because of the suffering of people in general. This is considered the highest method of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present in everyone's heart.
Very important verse. Tapyante. They do tapa. Tapa is what? Voluntarily accepting some inconvenience for a higher purpose. So here the higher purpose is not meant for his own self. Tapyante lokatapena. Because of the suffering of loka, other people, he is accepting tapa. He is accepting some inconvenience. Right? Sadhava prayaso janaha. When do they do? Prayaso. Almost always. Not once in a year, once in a decade, or once in a lifetime, not like that. Almost always they are willing to accept such austerity for the welfare of others. Sadhavo prayasa jana paramaradhanam taddhi. Right? Paramaradhanam. It is the topmost form of worship. Purushasya akhilatmanah. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is akhilatmanah, he is the soul of everyone, is best worshipped by sacrificing our energy, our time, our capacities for the welfare of others. Prabhupada gives a brilliant purport here. Preaching is the best way to satisfy the Supreme Lord. That is the paramaradhanam. So what is the welfare here? Tapyante lokatapena. What is the austerity that you need to accept for the welfare of others? That is preaching them Krishna consciousness. That is the way of becoming quickly recognized by the Lord. So one Lord recognizes a person very quickly. What is that verse? Idam paramam guhyam madbhakteshvabhidashyati. Whoever explains this confidential knowledge of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is very dear to me. Preachers are very dear to Krishna. So Krishna says that. Idam paramam guhyam madbhakteshvabhidashyati. Nachatasman manushyesu kaschin me priyakrittamaha. No one else is more dear to me as much as a preacher does. So one who preaches the message of Bhagavad Gita to my devotees is most dear to me. No one can excel him in satisfying me, Krishna says. Paramaradhanam taddhi purushasya akhilatmanah. What is the best welfare activity? Preaching. Prabhupada gives a contrast between preaching and other welfare activities of philanthropy, etc. Other welfare activities cannot be effective, for the loss of material nature and the results of karma cannot be checked. So results of karma, one has to experience. Loss of karma will not leave you. Adhyatmika klesha, adhidaivika klesha, adhibhautika klesha, adhi narsinga klesha. Right? In nursing home, you have nursing klesha. Right? Two of our devotees experienced that nursing home klesha and then came back. So these are unavoidable in this material world. So Prabhupada says, for example, someone gets a court order. Right, he must accept it, whether it brings suffering to him or profit to him. He has to accept, right, this klesha. He cannot avoid. But trying to bring someone out of that material suffering through philanthropic activities is not a very good idea. It's not considered very glorious welfare activity. Prabhupada emphasizes this repeatedly in Bharat Maharaj episode also, misplaced compassion. Bharat Maharaj episode is misplaced compassion, where he was showing compassion on a deer on a material level. So the greatest compassion can be shown by bringing a person to Krishna consciousness. That is the greatest form of compassion. That is paramarādhanam taddhi. Okay, others are not paramarādhanam. Okay, if someone is thirsty, you can give a glass of water, not a problem. Right? If someone is in some trouble, you can help him. But ultimate welfare is bringing him to Krishna consciousness, not giving him some material solutions for his material problems. Tasyeva heto prayateta kovido nalabhyate yad bhramatam upariyadaha. So, Prabhupada quotes this first canto verse, fifth chapter. Everyone is under the obligations of karma and reactions. No one can change this. So, what should one do? One should endeavor for which is never obtained by wandering up and down in the universe as a result of karma. What is that? Krishna consciousness. Endeavor for the permanent thing. If one tries to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, he should be understood to be performing the best welfare activity. The word tries has to be underlined, make it bold, put it in inverted commas. You need not actually do the preaching activity. Even if you endeavor, even if you try to do it, still that is the best welfare activity. Right? You may be playing a very small role, right, in the big preaching activity. Even that small role is paramarādhanam taddhi. It is surely the greatest form of worship. So that is emphasized by Prabhupada. Prabhupada gives so many benefits of preaching. The Lord is automatically very pleased with him. If the Lord is pleased with him, what is left for him to achieve? Many times, we want to be the forefront of the result of some service. Okay? Or we want to be leading the show. We can't just be in the background. So, but even if someone is in the background, even if he tries to spread Krishna consciousness, means you just play a small role in a big plan of some devotee. Still, that is very much appreciated by the Lord. That is the greatest form of welfare activity. That is paramarādhanam. So, if one has been recognized by the Lord, even if he does not ask the Lord for anything, the Lord who is within everyone supplies him whatever he wants. Tesham nityabhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. So Prabhupada again concludes the purport by emphasizing once again. All the Shastras conclude, therefore, that the spreading Krishna consciousness movement is the best welfare activity in the world. Because of the ultimate benefit it bestows upon the people, Lord very quickly recognizes such service performed by a devotee. So why preaching makes one be recognized by the Lord? Why Lord recognizes a preacher so much? Because that activity has the ultimate benefit. In the ultimate sense, that activity is giving the best possible result. Right? Because the result of that activity is the best thing expected, that's why the worship becomes the best. Parama aradhanam, because it is parama welfare. Because it is the supreme welfare for the living entity, that's why it has become supreme form of worship for the Supreme Lord. Like that. Even Krishna also descends, yatayadahi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Even Krishna himself descends to reclaim the conditioned souls. If someone is assisting Krishna in reclaiming conditioned souls, why will he not happy? The purpose of his descent is to reclaim the conditioned souls. In one of the purposes, one of the main purposes in relation to conditioned souls. So, Krishna is very happy. So, now, Radhika Vallabha Prabhu gave this example that Lord Shiva and Rahu. Here, Shiva drank poison, but he did not die. Right? He did it with a pure intent. And the black mark or the blue mark on his throat has become an ornament. But this fellow, Rahu, has drunk nectar. He didn't drink poison. Okay? He drank nectar.
But he was dead. Black Maya, his head got disconnected from his body only. Right? And he is always considered an inauspicious graha, inauspicious planet. So, it's not that what we drink. We may drink poison or we may drink nectar. But with what intent are we drinking? Okay, with what intent are we acting? That decides, okay, whether it's an auspicious activity or inauspicious activity. So, intent of selflessness and selfishness. Even if we take up some services, even in the Krishna consciousness realm, still, what is our intent? Krishna observes that intent. This fellow wants some name, fame, credit for this. He has personal agenda in taking up this activity. Then, okay, he has a long way to go. Does he have a selfless intent? Other day, Nimai Lila Prabhu was giving a brilliant presentation on what all different motives that drives a person. In the lowest level, it is fear. Then, incentive. Then, what is the third level? Appreciation. Last is gratitude. So, gratitude is the should be the driving force for our actions, ideally. So, Lord Shiva is drinking out of selfless compassion. And it became an ornament. So, actually, who is experiencing spiritual happiness? If someone is actually experiencing spiritual happiness, his spiritual happiness leads to his distress, which is born out of compassion for conditioned souls. Para dukkha dukkhi. He is experiencing spiritual bliss in his heart. So, such a person will experience great distress at his heart also, while seeing suffering conditioned souls. That's what Prahlad Maharaj was experiencing. Shiva is very well connected with the Supreme Lord. Right? But seeing the distress of all these demigods, he became compassionate. That caused a lot of distress in his heart and he drank all the poison. Advaitacharya is a classic combination of these mixed emotions of ecstasy and distress. Right? He was ecstatic in his Hari Bhakti. But he was thoroughly distressed seeing all these logicians in the Navadvip and then he is unable to do anything. He called out for Mahaprabhu's appearance and Mahaprabhu appeared. So one has to undergo so much distress or tapa, tapyante, austerity or inconvenience for the welfare of others. Tapyante lokatapena sadhavah prayaso janah paramaradhanum taddhi Purushasya akhilatmanah. So tapa is voluntary acceptance of inconvenience or self-punishment for a higher purpose. So Prabhupada elsewhere he describes two kinds of austerity. One for sense gratification, one for self-realization. Demons undergo austerity for sense gratification. Devotees undergo austerity for self-realization. Now this tapa can be for pleasing Supreme Lord. As here it is mentioned, there are two types of tapa one can do, for one's own welfare and for the welfare of others. We need to do two kinds of tapa. So now we are coming into the positive realm. So the tapa can be done positively and negatively, one for sense gratification, one for self-realization, or one for service of the Lord. So within the positive tapa, tapa done with a positive intention, there could be two intentions, to purify one's own self and for the welfare of others. So, the austerity for purification of one's own self is of three types. Austerity of body. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Devad vija guru prajna pujanam saucham arjavam brahmacharyam ahimsacha shiriram tapa uchyate. The tapa of body, shirira's tapa, is to worship the Supreme Lord, Brahmanas, Guru, superiors, like father, mother, cleanliness, etc. Simplicity, celibacy, non-violence, these are all tapa for the body. One has to undergo tapa for the body. One has to take care of his body nicely. Prabhupada says in that Gajendra episode that in our fight with Maya, we should not lose our enthusiasm and bodily strength. We should keep in a proper bodily condition, physical strength and enthusiasm to continue in Krishna consciousness. He says that, right? So one has to take care of body. That's an austerity of body. Then second is austerity of mind. Mana prasada saumyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava samsiddhire tatya tapo manasam uchyate. So satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control. These are all austerities of mind. So, now, important point is, austerity of mind could be internal activity. And austerity of body may be personal activity. It's pertaining to our own self. But the third kind of austerity is very important. That is austerity of speech. Right? That is very important. Because words are the medium through which we connect to other people. So, if we don't follow the austerity of speech, we end up breaking relationships. Right? Very important. Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya bhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapa uchyate. Anudvega karam vakyam. Our vakyam, our speech should not cause anxiety or agitation in others' minds. Satyam, truthful. Priyahitam chayat. It has to be very pleasing to others. Right? Svadhyaya bhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapa uchyate. Even your study that you are doing in Vidyapit, that is also austerity of speech only. After doing so much study, after hearing and speaking Bhagavatam so much, so the speech will become very refined. Our dealings should become very refined. It may take long time. The degree to which one's speech is contaminated by spending time in this material world decides how much time you may need to do the austerity of speech, to speak anudvega karam vakyam. Right? It may take a long time. So somebody who has spent in hostels, he comes into ashram. That culture, okay, that manner of speech we may still continue. Okay, to some degree or the other, our style of speech is affected by our spending time in the material world. But by taking shelter of this process and by reminding ourselves so many times, anudvega karam vakyam, our speech will be refined and become suitable for the acceptance of other devotees. So, yeah, I think we have a couple of more verses. Nishamya karma tat shambhor deva devasya midhusha prajadakshayani brahma vaikunthascha samamsire sasamsire.
Upon hearing of this act, everyone including Bhavani, the daughter of Maharaj Daksha, Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, and the people in general, very highly praised this deed performed by Lord Shiva, who is worshipped by the demigods and who bestows benediction upon the people.
Everyone praised Lord Shiva. Praskannam pibatah paner yatkinti jagruhus matat Vrishchikahi vishau shadhyo dandasukascha ye pare.
Scorpions, cobras, poisonous drugs and other animals whose bites are poisonous took the opportunity to drink whatever little poison had fallen and scattered from Lord Shiva's hand while he was drinking.
Mahaprasad poison. Shiva's Mahaprasad. So, snakes and scorpions, they drank and then they also became little poisonous. You see in this painting, all snakes are also there. So, like that. Important message, the chapter is ending with tapa. Tapa we have to do for our own welfare. Tapa we have to do for others also. Okay. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. I went over time, as usual. Sorry. And I must acknowledge His Grace Radhika Varla Prabhu, okay, who sent me a notes that helped me a lot in studying this chapter from different angles and perspectives. So, many of the points I discussed from his notes. So, should we give questions? Should I give questions? Enumerate all the events, different events that happened in this chapter and list out what all lessons can we learn from them. Okay. Till Hala Hala produces. Okay. Till that point you can give. First 20 verses. First 19 verses.
or
first 16 verses, sorry, from 1 to 16, just enumerate the events, then the lesson to be learnt.
Then prayers, write a brief note on Lord Shiva's
character and compassion,
and along with Prabhupada's comments. Quote this Tapyante Lokatapena verse, verse number 44.
25.
Second question is character and compassion of Lord Shiva. It's all the activities of Lord Shiva in this chapter and the glorification given by demigods also in that. Tapyante Lokatapena, he gives a purport. So from all his activities you can write.
Later, after the full episode is complete, somebody can make a table in soft copy where all Supreme Lord intervened in the Samudra Manthan episode. Okay, that's an interesting exercise. Last year they did in hard copies. They are with them. You do in soft copy. Correct. In her previous birth, she is daughter of Daksha. In her previous birth, she is daughter of Daksha. I don't know what exactly he meant. I think there is no commentary also. Any tika by... Bhavani is addressed as daughter of Daksha here. Everything about Lord Shiva, whatever Prabhupada says. Prabhu's one request from maintenance team there. Whoever is not having a locker in ashram, so please don't keep your luggage or bags or whatever, books or whatever here and there in the ashram. So they are a little concerned about the cleanliness and ambience of ashram. So make sure that you keep all your luggage in your lockers only. In Goshala, here.
Something is there, you can give comments on that.
Yeah. So tomorrow is retreat, 9:30, here. Sanat Kumar Prabhu will come. Same menu. Yes, Makanlal Prabhu. Here only, no? Now you can.
Do we have opportunity there?
I just asked.